Last week we started the Gemara on Ches Amar Aleph, going all the time. There's a last line on Ches Amar Aleph. Rabbani says that a person should always be, Rabbani says it's not Nikum Dech HaTargum, Yashli Imadim, the last line on Ches Amar Aleph. The other Yashli Imadim, Parshi Yisrael, in HaTzibur. It should be Rabbani said it together with the Tzibur. So we said that there are three opinions in the Mishnah of what the nature of the Din is. The Ravon says to Abiyur that this Takone, is only for the farmers who miss Kriyas HaTorah, the Tzibur. But this is a substitute for the Kriyas HaTorah. Why would they miss Takon Shnayim Mikra HaTorah? And he says one Mikra Keneged the Balkari, one is Keneged the Oila, who lays along with the Balkari, one is Keneged the Matarga. That's the pshat for them, Bizman Azez.
You only apply.
You only have to understand Nikra because you don't have in the Torah, you don't say the Targum. And it's only for the people who don't hear through the Torah. Those are Hebrews of Torah, they don't need this Takon. Other Rishonim insist, no, that the Takon is that you should be Mavis Sedra just in case you get that Aliyah. So you have to be Mavis Sedra every week, Shanikra Takon, and then you have to go through it in advance. You have to prepare all the Aliyahs in advance. It's the Medina, you have to lay in Shanikra Takon. If there's no point on lady, so you may be lucky enough to get the first Aliyah, the second Aliyah, the third Aliyah, last or whatever, so you have to be Mother Shade or everything.
Yes.
You have to know if that's the pshat, so then you have to finish Shemik Rechatag before Kriyas HaTorah. If it's a din of Hakon of Kriyas HaTorah. In the middle of the road sheet, that's the one that we accept. The middle sheet is that it's not a din of Hakon of Kriyas HaTorah just in case you'll be stuck with any particular Aliyah. Nor is it a din as a substitute for the Kriyas HaTorah. It's a din that everybody should do mishpatis with the tzibur, whether you're going to hear Kriyas HaTorah or not. Rashlam, Odom, Pashiyot, Tzirim, Atzibi, Shaddai, along with the tzibur.
According to the shita that you should prepare the case of Kolan, you have to prepare with the time in
there. Yes, some on the doctor does get to lay with the shukta. And others not. According to that sheet, then it's a hachana for the lady, just in case you can get any aliyah. You may get any aliyah, so then you have to prepare yourself with the truck.
That's
right. Why do you have to prepare? Why do you have to prepare the targum just in case you get an aliyah? Yeah. So we pass him along it's a different sheet, and it's not a din of hachana for Kriyas HaTorah. That's why if you didn't finish nine mikra vechatam before Kriyas HaTorah, you can finish after the Kriyas HaTorah. What's the latest that you can? What's the latest that you can fulfill Shnayim Mikra Dech HaTargum? So the Gemara says, the Gemara discusses that. That's on the date, on the third line, the Gemara says, Rabbi, Bar Abaye, Abaye's son, Sova Lashminim, Leparshiyosu, Dekhu Mishak, Memani Yom HaDikipur. He was busy all year long, and there Yom Kippur, he took off. He decided, Eric and Kitty has a lot of time on his hands, has nothing to do. So the Mother said that the whole Kriyas HaTorah from last year, not from the coming year, from the last year. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that for two reasons. First, the Gemara gives one reason, then the Gemara is going to give later another 5, 6 months, a different reason. First reason, the Gemara says, what do you mean you have nothing better to do on Eric and Kitty? No. Seder Yom is supposed to eat, because there's a special mitzvah to eat on Yom Kippur. And that's some you say if you eat a little bit. You have to eat all day long. The Gemara says, Tana lechia barav midifti. So another Rameir is told, Abayi son, no. See, it says, Nefati dinis, Nefam shesechem, you should start fasting. The Tisha lachayil is for Erez, on the ninth of Tisha. So he never understood the process. Chiyu Tisha, Nesayim, Hava, Vatora, Nesayim, you don't fast on the ninth of Tisha, you fast on the tenth of Tisha. The Tisha points out that the Pshut Shal Mikra is not a problem. What it means is, the Tisha L'Chodesh, or Erev, the night after Tisha L'Chodesh. So the Shul Tisha L'Chodesh doesn't really pose a problem. Because you have other symbols of Sukkim in the Chumash. So the Chumash writes, says, of course, I got it from last week's sermon. There's a Dima Masa Kehiru Nisano. Quotes a passage from Shemot Yudeis, where it says, Barisham Yavad L'Yom L'Chodesh for Erev Tachum Masa. On the 14th day of Nisan at night, you should eat Masa. I mean the 14th day at night, where did anybody come in? It means the 13th day. It means the 15th. That's the way the Torah writes. If you send a wedding invitation, so you write which day it is, and then you write the... You write 6:30 at night. 6:30 is the very next day. So how do you write? That's the minigurum, but you write... And the Goyish account, you wrote the right date, because that's until midnight, till that date. But according to the Yiddish law, so you wrote the wrong date, you have to be in the Daktik Daftik to write tomorrow's date, so you really don't have to
write it. It depends on what time when she is.
Let's say the she is earlier. So we're not mastered about that. The Taisha says the Lashon HaChodesh is like that. The Taisha says, on the 14th day of Nisan, that night you should eat Mas. It means the night after the 14th day. So here also, the Yoyim, the Pshutash on Mikra is not a problem. And it says, on the 9th of Tishrei at night, you should fast. The 9th of Tishrei, there's Yom Kippur. At night, there's Yom Kippur. You should start fasting the whole Yom Kippur. The Pshutash on Mikra is not a problem. But the Gemara gets fast, and it says, this is the Lashon should have been written a little differently. Yes. So the Gemara has a drasha, it's not really the Pshutash on Mikra, it's a drasha. The Chizitish in the Sanam Alabal. Dor in the Sanam, you only fast on Yom Kippur. The Loim Alabal, it tells you, that you have to do something on Erev Yom Kippur that would be considered as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th. So what do you have to do? Take care. Oh, so maybe it means that there's Nasif Mechal HaKadosh. That's another drush. That's the drush in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says. You have to be Moshe Mechal HaKadosh in Mikan, and this is the knocker for that's how the Rambam passes. The Rambam only quotes the din, the Araita, Tosefes by Yom Kippur. He doesn't hold that there's a mishnah deraita, not Tosefes Shabbos, and not Tosefes Yom Tov, only Tosefes Yom Kippur. Ask if they cast that the Magid Mishnah on the side of the Rambam understood, or misunderstood, whatever it is, understood Shat in the Rambam, that the only thing you have to be Moses on Yom Kippur is the Chomish Eluyim before. You're committed to do Melacha. You have to abstain from Achilles, Tiyas, Tichon, you know, the time that Tasha Shamit, a little before Yom Kippur starts. But you can do Melacha. You can do all the Melacha you want. And now you have power that you're not doing Achilles, Tiyas, Tichon, 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 Tasha Shamit, you can do all the Melacha. So the Rashi thought that was still his law. How can it be? It's all one Krishna Tayyad, that's Mechayib and everything. So if the Torah said you have to be Moshe, Mechayib and Akkadish, you have to be Mechabal, Krishna Tayyad, and Yom Kippur earlier in order to start the Tainus earlier. So the Hechreach is stuck, so you have to abstain from the Lacha as well. But the Magen Mishnah understood not so. He says, no, according to the Rambam, since there's no Din Deraita of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yom Kippur, it's only a Din Tosefes Yom Kippur, so it's only a Din that engages to the Inuyim. It's not a Din that engages to the Malacha, only that engages to the Inuyim. That's how he says. The Rambam taxes in Rosh Hashanah, and that says, there's a whole sugya. How do you know that the requirement of Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Kippur, Tosefes Yom Kippur? The one time I learned that in this country. Now, if you would have done Mitzvah, that's how he says this. Kiva Mitzvah, no. Kiva Mitzvah, no. If he would have been Mitzvah, and he would have fasted, he would have done a Mitzvah, so as he eats on Erev Yom Kippur is considered as if he had done the mitzvah there. So what's the lotion? So what does it say to you? I read that he a mitzvah. What does the Torah give a moshel? Yeah, so that makes sense. You read about kavodah, so the halacha says it's considered as if you brought the kavodah. So if you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's considered as if you shook the lulav. No one says that. If you eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's considered as if you fasted 2 days. Why? Why should it be considered as if you fasted 2 days? But some say that it makes it more difficult to fast. If you ate a lot on Erev Yom Kippur, then by contrast, the fast is going to be more difficult. So the fast is going to be more difficult. The next thing, like the Gemara says in Titus, that the Anshei Maimed used to fast. The Kohanim would be divided into 24 Mishmaris, and the Kalavitol would also be divided into 24 Mamadis. But those who would fast in the middle of Shabbos, they wouldn't fast, they would only fast in the middle of the week. So what does the Gemara say? That on Friday they wouldn't fast Acher Shabbos. And on Sunday they wouldn't fast either because it's Matzoi Shabbos. So what if it's Matzoi Shabbos? On Shabbos they ate so much, if they're going to fast on Sunday, it'll be a very difficult fast. Because they just ate so much guns and so much eating. So nothing is too difficult. So they eat a little bit on Sunday. How much do you eat? Cheerios for breakfast, you have a Purim sandwich for lunch, how much do you eat? You eat a little supper. You don't eat so much, not like Shabbos. You don't sit and eat cholent and kugel and everything. So somebody closer to that. On Monday, it's right to fast, not so good. So that's what some learn over here in the Gemara. Why does it say Allah Shekiru Hisano? If he eats on Erev Yom Kippur, doesn't mean Tom he eats a sandwich. He has Cheerios for breakfast, sugar fast. You know what I mean? If he eats a lot all day long, and then he's going to fast on Yom Kippur, then the fast will be more difficult, so it's an added eatery. It's like a sixth eatery. It's an anadimi. The fasting on Yom Kippur will be more difficult. And that's the purpose. The purpose of eating an Erev Yom Kippur is in order to make the fasting on Yom Kippur more difficult. It's a little strange. When we learn at the end of Shabbos, we have such a gemara. The gemara says that on Yom Kippur, late in the afternoon, the gemara says you prepare the food from a Yom Kippur. I can eat the hakhana. So the whole issue of hakhana is only to do a bun. Let's say if I set up the table, or I take out some clothes or something, I'm not doing a malacha. If I turn on the light from the Shabbos, that's a malacha. But if I just set the table from long malacha, that's only an Issa HaKhanim Durabon. That's not an Issa HaKhanim Durabon. But since it's only Durabon, so the HaKhanim allowed you to prepare on Yom Kippur, late in the afternoon from the Yom Kippur, to prepare the food. But why did they allow and encourage everybody to prepare all of the food? So the Gemara says, what's the Losh HaGemara at the end of Shabbos? Let's say Agmas Nefesh. They allowed him to prepare the food and say, Agmas Nefesh. But those that didn't say Agmas Nefesh, so the Rashi and the Baal HaMor have two opposite interpretations and not Gimor. The Rebbe already says which way, but on the daf they printed the Baal HaMor and the Masoret HaShas. You don't have to look in the back. It's printed on the daf, right next to the Rashi. It's on daf Kuf Chof Aleph or something, towards the end of Shabbos. So one of the Rishonim says, the guy's hungry all day on Yom Kippur, so he's nervous, will he be able to pull through to the end of Yom Kippur? You tell him, prepare the food so he won't be so nervous, so he won't have any Agmas Nefesh. If the Agmas Nefesh is, he then should only have to avoid the Agmas Nefesh. Another Rishonim, I think, that he should see the food, and he should know that he's not allowed to eat it. To add Agmas Nefesh, that the eater should be a stronger eater.
What's the logic here?
Because by contrast to the fact that he was eating so much on Erev Yom Kippur,
what if somebody eats on Erev Yom Kippur that he can't fast?
Rabbi Kibega has a shiur about a woman who's sick. That is true. Let's say the person has to eat on Yom Kippur. He's not going to fast anyway. Is there a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? That's a major machlokes in Rishonim. Is there different ways to understand the nature of this? This is supposed to be a real din d'oraita. The mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Assume the Rama calls it a real din d'oraita. Is this assumed to be a din d'oraita because it enhances the tonus on Yom Kippur, makes it more difficult? And other Rishonim say, no, just to be fair, to prepare you. You should be full for the time it shouldn't. In that case, when you learn the first shot or the second shot, which are opposite, that you should eat on Erev Yom Kippur and everybody should have this strength. To fast on Yom Kippur, you should eat on Erev Yom Kippur a lot, and in order that the fasting on Yom Kippur should be more difficult for him, if it's hakhana for the fasting, then we should say that it only applies to those who are going to fast on Yom Kippur. But if you know in advance that you're not going to fast on Yom Kippur, then this mitzvah wouldn't apply. And also, Rabbi Kibega points out, then we would not declare it as a mitzvah says such as my grandma and say that women are punished. The Shalit Kilega has a little children. A woman mukhiyat to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. A woman doesn't feel well. So she would prefer not to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So do you say, no, the hamitzvah that she has to eat a lot on Erev Yom Kippur. If a person doesn't feel well, he's not mukhiyat, let's say he's going to eat matzah. And he's going to get an upset stomach, he's going to start throwing up from the morah, from the matzah, from the arbitrary to whatever. A person, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a shuvah. The person is not mukhiyat to fulfill the mitzvah, he's going to get sick by fulfilling the mitzvah. By stukah, there's a din on the sirus, even if he doesn't become a chayyim. But by other mitzvahs, the din on such a lach on the shah, and stukah is the din on teishu kein tadur, and kol ha-talkulu, the din on such din, teishu kein tadur, and kol ha-talkulu, there is a din, you're not mukhiyat to do a mitzvah, it's going to make you physically sick. It's mukhiyat, it's not a keem on this. So let's say if a woman doesn't feel well, she's not going to get sick if she's going to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. She would prefer not to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So should we say that it's a mitzvah, that women are mechuyot to eat on Erev Yom Kippur as well, or should we declare that it's a mitzvah? Says, Shaz Man Grom, and Noshim Apsur. So that's the tshuva that Rabbi Kibega has done on. If the nature of the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur is the teres hachana for Yom Kippur, either hachana in one direction or the opposite direction, doesn't matter. If it's hachana to make the tonus more difficult, so that the fasting should be more of an inui, or it should be make a lot of tonus, or it should be fair in order that he'll be strong on Yom Kippur, that he should be able to fast all day. If he says hachana for Yom Kippur, The Hasbara now says that women who are Mechuyiv to fast on Yom Kippur is being Mechuyiv also to do the Hakone, to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, whatever direction the Hakone is. If one should assume for some reason or another that the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur has nothing to do with Yom Kippur, just accidentally happens to be that it's on Erev Yom Kippur, but it's unrelated to the mitzvah of fasting on Yom Kippur. How in the world could it possibly be unrelated to Yom Kippur?
Based on the
pasuk, yeah, the drasha is based on the pasuk of this. Yeah, the pasuk shadows that it is related to the fasting on Yom Kippur, but some Rishonim learned, a strange shepherd, some Rishonim learned that it's a separate mitzvah, that the oil on the Torah was given on Yom Kippur, in order to look at Rishonim, would declare, that there is a difference to declare on Shavuot. The book of Shavuot was brought down on Shavuot at the time of the Moshe Rabbeinu's mission. The book of were given on Shavuot, but the book of would be proclaimed on Shavuot. So the Gemara says that on Shavuot, Hakol Moedim Dibina Nami Lachem, because Yom Shem Yitzvah Batayr. The Rizm Achlegis of Lez and Rabbi Yeshua and Beitzin and Stoch, and how is one to observe Pesach and Yom Tov? How is one to observe Yom Tov? Because Katsa Bechadrei Ma'atayr Koshem Rokecha. Because Bechadrei Ma'atayr Siyah Lachem. One Koshik sounds like it's implying that Yom Tov is supposed to spend a lot of time on Ruchnias. There should be daven a lot, Kriya learning, Shiurim, Drushes, Musnah, and so on. And the other part of the Torah that Sarah Pilahem is supposed to eat a lot and enjoy your Lamazen, go for a walk and spend time with your children and enjoy your time with the Lamazen. But there's Machlekes of Lezer Rabbi Shua, how do you resolve the serious substitutes? Lezer says, you have an option, either you do this way or you do that way. Okul Hashem, Okul Lachem. And the Gemara says, we talk like Rabbi Shua, that whenever you have such a serious substitute, you say, okay, you chayti Hashem, you chayti Hashem. Even though there is no kosel ha-shlishi, we haven't found the kosel ha-shlishi she-achir b'neh, we dash on our own to be machir b'neh and to say chayti Hashem, chayti Hashem. So there's more comments there in Sochim, Adav Samachet, that Med Bar Mamur, when is there such a machlek, that Rav Lezer can envision the observance of Yom Tov by davening and learning and giving and listening to Musa and Russia and everything, just as we were eating too much, not spending a lot of time on eating, he just has a bite, whatever. Remember, there's no Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is showing, so a lot of Hashanah say, but ultimately you have a lot of fierce and young, because he thinks that you don't have to have such an elaborate meal. So when is that? But then, from Med Bar Mamun, that's only on Pesach and on Sukkot. But on Shavuot, Shavuot is Zach Yom Shem Mitzvah by Teira. Hakol Medim Dina Nami Lachem. Everybody believes that you have to eat, I would call the biggest food. And even Rabbi Yeshua, who says, okay, Chet Hashem Chet Kilachem, Shavuot you have to eat more. Shavuot you have to eat more than you eat on a regular Yom Tov, because it's not only a mitzvah of eating, because it's Simchas Yom Tov, it's a mitzvah because Yom Shem Mitzvah by Teira. Today it's Kabbalah of Teira. Other Abbas Akir, and the first man is Kadra, and look, the best Kabbalah of Teira is in your chair, you should learn more. So they say, no, the Ramban writes on Chumash, and the first thing in Mishpatim. And it says, Vayakhtu Tomekim, Vayakhtu Vayishtu, and the Ramban goes to Medish, Mikan, Shereth, and Sudim, again, Mishal Teira. On the occasion of Kabbalah of Teira, or when you make a seal in the sister, so you have to have a Sudim, and that's why Shlomo HaMelech, when he had his dream, and the Ramban Shlom asked him, what do you want? Whatever you request will be, whatever request you have will be granted to you. So he requested Chochmas HaTorah, and when he woke up, the Chochmas HaTorah was granted to him. It says in the passage that he made a suda. When he made a suda, he recovered Gemesh HaTorah. He was able to Torah. But that's what the Gemara is saying, that on Shavuot, since it's a Yom Shemitim HaTorah, it's the day of the proclamation of HaTorah HaTorah, so it's Kabbalah HaTorah. So you have to eat a lot. Special Indian, always the suda of Kabbalah HaTorah. So Rishonim points out the Kabbalah HaTorah was twice. The Gemara says Shavuot was Kabbalah HaTorah and Yom Kippur again. Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos Shniyos on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah at the end of time says, Lahayu Lahem Yisrael Yom Tovim Kechamishah Sabah V'Kiyom Kippurim. These are the two jolliest days on the Jewish calendar, that the girls used to dance in the streets and the boys would find Shidduchim. So the Gemara says, why were these 2 days so happy? So the Gemara says, Bishlei Yom Kippur, we understand why such a simcha. It's the day of Kabbalah HaTorah. You want to give 2 reasons. It's the day of Mechilas HaVeiros, but it's also Yom Kabbalah HaTorah. So to cover the fact that it's Kabbalah HaTorah, you have to be very, very happy. The special simcha. What was Chamishah HaTorah all about? So the Gemara gives all of the reasons. So there's often in time. So you see that on Yom Kippur, since it's the Yom Kabbalah HaTorah, that's when the Luchos Shniyos were given, or Shabbat came down with the Luchos Shniyos, it's really a tchina like Shavuot. So since it's like Shavuot, you really ought to have a lot of Achilas Shniyos. But you can't. Some say, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Vayis Mitzvah, that's why they did the thing they're right to see the Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara says on Shavuot, how come Moedim sounds like a Dinde Raita? How come Moedim to be the Ram Lachem? Yoyim Shemitzim Batoy, on Shavuot, everybody agrees you have to have a Chilash Tiyah, to have a lot of enjoyment in Ram Lachem, because it's covered in Sin Kod Kabbalah Batoy. What do you do when you're sick of the Kabbalah Kabbalah Batoy? Some Rishonim say, that's why you should eat on Erev Yom Kippur. That's why, in fact, in the Chassidish Yisroel, they say that there's a minig, that on Shavuot you have milchiks, and on Erev Yom Kippur you should eat honey cake. Right. Honey cake. Why? Because the Torah is compared to Vash B'chol Tzat Rishonim. So since the Mitzvah Achila on Erev Yom Kippur is the same idea, the same thing as the Mitzvah Achila on Shavuot, both because it's Yom Shemitzim Matar, and the Yom Shemitzim Matar is Luchan Yom Kippur Yikeni, the Torah says we eat them. That's why the Tosfos says, Nisan Kol Ha'Echad Be'er Yom Kippur Ki'ilu Hisana, but it means it's Kol Ha'Echad Be'er Yom Kippur Ki'lochal Be'er Yom Kippur. That's what it means. The real Mitzvah Achila should have been Yom Kippur. That's the Bel Bayom of the Kabbalah Satar, but you can't do that. So they tell you, the Torah tells you, eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But it's really a separate mitzvah. It's separate from the mitzvah of fasting. Okay, it's a mitzvah to eat. You have two mitzvahs on the same day, to eat and fast. You can't do two things that are contradictory. So the mitzvah to eat, we're marked in Erev Yom Kippur, and we're going to say thereby. If you say that it's a separate mitzvah, then Rabbi Kadeja suggests that maybe it should be a mitzvah that says Shal Shal Shal. And women should be talking. They don't want it. They don't have to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, the hachronah for the fasting. So whoever is mechuyif to fast has to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And whoever we know in advance is not going to fast, the doctor said he's not going to fast on Erev Yom Kippur, he's not allowed to fast. So there's no mitzvah, there's no idea in eating on Erev Yom Kippur. But if you say it's a separate idea, so mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to say asma. So then, women should be taught it because it should be a mitzvah sacrificed on Yom. And even people who are going to eat on Yom Kippur should still be mechuyif to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. The separate mitzvah that they have?
But
the discusses this, because there's a machlekes in the Ramah, whether the mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur is only by Yom, or even the night before Erev Yom Kippur. Because the Ramah quotes there two minhagim, whether you say a lot of slichas on Erev Yom Kippur, you say very brief slichas. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, you say very long slichas. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, the minhag is that you say very long slichas. On Erev Yom Kippur, you say very long slichas. So the minig again by the Ashkenazi, the by Eastern Europe. But as far as I know, they say very short. Right. So by the Yekis, they say 2 hours. The same thing there, Rasha. They say very long sleep. The people in the Rabbi Schwab used to joke. He would say that if the Yekis want to eat milchik after the place is only waiting 3 hours, they have to be consistent and have to say the long slichas from Erev Yom Kippur. They can't take both kubas. They're going to take the kuba from Eastern Europe to say the short slichas 15 minutes, and then take the Yekisha kuba to only wait 3 hours with inflation milk. So if you want to wait 3 hours, you've got to say the long slichas.
Okay. If the person who doesn't pass on Yom Kippur, what does he have to eat the next day? He's eating on Yom Kippur. He's supposed to eat on Yom Kippur. You can't fast, but he's eating some kinds of the mitzvah on Yom Kippur.
The story was Kaveh, since I know that he was fast. Since the right B'nai Yodam, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of eating Ali and Kippur Gufa. Well, by Yom, since the Torah was Kaveh, you need to see
Shalom.
So the Netzit Kosh is a Machlekes and Shulchan Aruch, whether you say long slithers or you say the short slithers. So what's the issue when you say long slithers or short slithers? So the Bi'ur Agmah, Magen Avraham. And the Bi'ur Agmah book, and then Magen Avraham doesn't say it on his own. He quotes it from the earlier Machlekes. They all say like that. The Nekudas HaMachlekes says this mitzvah achila and Erev Yom Kippur, does it begin only the morning of Erev Yom Kippur, or does it begin the night before? The night before. So that it did, and in Zira on the Shulchan thinks that the story runs as follows. He thinks that this pshat is that the mitzvah achila and Erev Yom Kippur is a hachonah for the fast, either hachonah to fill yourself up, share a tradition of Tazik La'atayin, or it's hachonah to make it more difficult to fast, because when you eat so much, it's going to be by contrast a very difficult hachonah. But then you think that it only makes sense whatever you eat in the daytime. If you're going to eat the night before, you think that that's not going to make things more difficult, not going to make things easier or difficult when it's going to come in. If you say it's a mitzvah achila b'shnei asma, for some reason or another, perhaps like some Rishonim say, because Yom Kippur is the Yom Shemitzvah Torah. So, and you're not, normal people are not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, so the Torah is not in the mitzvah achila to Yom Kippur. If that's the nature of the din, the mitzvah deep and every Yom Kippur, it's a separate mitzvah from that. So Shaxa said the mitzvah is all day and all night. The mitzvah begins the night before. And the whole day is a Yom Kippur. That's what the Achreinim will explain. If he treats the whole day as a Yom Kippur, Dayom, Mubalai, Lon, Tes, Tisha, he's treated as a Yom Kippur. So it's not proper to say a lot of Slichas on a Yom Kippur. He said the Kippur. If he's saying, no, that only Bayom is a mitzvah achim, it's only treats Bayom as a Yom Kippur. The night before the Yom Kippur is not treated as a Yom Kippur. There's no special mitzvah achim, the same as any other Yom Kippur. So Maryam Kippur in the morning, it says those who say the Slichas, those who say Slichas on Maryam Kippur at night, those who say the long Slichas in the morning, they're supposed to finish before Alois HaShachar.
Well, they start
at the night. Alois HaShachar is like an hour and a half before sunrise. Yeah, they're supposed to start 3.5 hours before sunrise and finish by Alois HaShachar. And even if it extends a little bit after, they're saying the Slichas, they're saying the Takmun into the morning after Alois HaShachar. Oh, so even if you extend a little bit into the day, you can tell because he started before. So let's say they have the late minion. The late minion will start davening at 8 o'clock in the morning. But then, for sure you shouldn't say the long Slichas. Then it's Zichar Yomtiv. So then the holidays you have to say the short Slichas. Even those who would normally have the minute to say the long Slichas, they have to start after Haneta Chama. Or even starting after Alois HaShachar, all of them are. For sure you are. You only have to say the abridged version of the Slichas.
So why do you call it
Yom Kippur? It's just a question about fun.
The first way is
Yom Shinin Lovotara.
But
it's
the Hachana, it doesn't make
it. That's a very strong timing. That's a very strong timing. I don't have an answer. If it's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, Kippur, Simchas, Kabbalah, Sotere. But then we understand why the Achreinim will call it a Yom Kippur and it's not proper to say Slichas. If you say that, like the Nitzchuk explained, it's not a mitzvah achilah b'fnei atzmo, it's a mitzvah achilah b'peros achana for the tannis. That's how he explains it. And achana only makes sense for yom and not the night before. But then if it's only a mitzvah achana, then why should it be called a yom tov at all? So what's so good if he says shlichas on erev yom tov? I don't know, but that's what all the in the Shulchan Aruch, that's the way they write. The Ramor, the Zaki Moshe on the two, and the Magen Avraham, the Bi'er Avro. All the Achanim write like that. So because it's a mitzvah achilah, that makes it into a yom tov.
And can I ask the strange thing? Can you say that some, you know,
we have the chatzor. Yeah. There is the under, we have the chatzor. So this is way in the morning. Part of the Torah. Good point. I don't know. It's a good heart. So look again, I think Rebbe Kadega says that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he doesn't say that. He talks about the Mashiach and there he is. He's right to the Mitzvah. What's the Shia? What's the Shia?
There's no word achila.
What's the shiur? That's the shiur. So what again? So the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Barabai, Abai's son thought, the Mada says, and Erev Yom Kippur has nothing to do all day long. He took off a day from the offices. Now the Mada says, all the Now, you have to tell him that he missed all year long. So he told him he's not allowed to do that. There's a special Indian that you should eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So he said, okay, Kapra. So he's not supposed to do it then. So he did on Erev Yom Kippur, whatever. But then he figured he may as well be Mavis Edmund for the whole year. So he has off from work, whatever, anything Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So he'll be Mavis Edmund now, all the parishes for the coming year. Talk about Dominu. So he thought maybe I'll lay in all the Shandik Levitan for the whole coming year. So one of the older Chachamim told him, Tanina, we have a price. We're going to do something in the Mavis Edrazai, Mubacha Le'yagdim, Yishalo Yachir. So now the Gemara comes already, has two reasons why. The Gemara started off before. Rabbi Abaye felt that on Erev Yom Kippur, he'll be Mavis Edrazai for the whole past year. So the first reason the Gemara gave why it's in Prophet's time. On Erev Yom Kippur, you have what you do. You have to eat all day long. You're not supposed to spend all day long Mavis Edrazai. But if not for that, what about Erev Yom Kippur? The days before Erev Yom Kippur is okay. Or any other time is okay. You can make up all the shine, make up time, make you miss all year long. Now the Gemara says rule. When this Rabbi Barabai had a Havlina that he had a day off, so he figured he'll be Mavis Edrazai for the next couple of months. So then Ahu Saba told him a brighter that says both are wrong. Vachalei Yagdim. Vachalei Yachay. You can make up on Tishrei when you have off all the Shmanikra that you miss, and you can't lay in advance. But the Takana of Takanim was Yashman Pashiyon Tzidim Hatzib. They have to lay along with the Tzibur. So that's the shayla that Taisha discusses, when is it called Imamat for Yashlin? And Ches on the day. So when is it exactly called Imamat Sibu? When is it called Imamat Sibu? Dafya on Shabbos. You have to be Mavis Edmund. Dafya on Shabbos. If you lay an air of Shabbos, it's no good. When is it called Imamat Sibu? So Taisha says, near it, when it's here, they call HaShavua all week long. They say them, the Mashiach, Mikvah, Zaparsha, Zahar, the Mincha Shabbos, Reilech, on Shabbos, Habor, Mikvah, Imamat Sibu. In other words, from Shabbos afternoon at 12:30 or 1:30, whenever you can start laying the mincha. So when you lay at mincha, you lay next week's kriya. So that's the beginning of Imat Tzibur. That's when you start laying parshas b'Shabbos, the Shabbos afternoon. Until then, until next Shabbos, as long as you can lay parshas HaShavua. So how long can you start to lay parshas b'Shabbos? How long? Let's say this Shabbos. Let's say this coming Shabbos morning, for some reason or another, 10 people didn't wake up in time. So they want to lay in Kriya HaTorah at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Can they lay in Kriya HaTorah at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Why not? So that's the previous generation was also Machlekes Shacharit. So on the bottom of the Arachayim, you have the Achrayim on the page called the Ateres Zikainim. The Ateres Zikainim says that if you miss Kriyas Ateres in the morning, if you have 10 people to miss in the morning, the Kol HaYayim is not Kriyas. You can learn Kriyas Ateres Shabbat afternoon. What if you, let's say you have 10 people miss Kriyas Ateres on Monday or Thursday morning, can you learn in the afternoon?
Did you have also?
So what's the din that you do on the list?
The Mincha in Shabbos.
The Mincha on which?
On Monday, I'll tell
you. On Monday. Oh, okay. The Rav also went, yeah. The Rav Ravetchik also, when he used to come in, he used to travel.
On the airplane.
On Monday or Thursday, so he would often make a minyan in the afternoon. And he asked the Shia, boys, did anybody miss Kriyas HaTorah this morning? And he had more than 10 people to raise their hands. He used to learn Kriyas HaTorah. Yeah. He used to say, Ashrei. And then the Chazan says, Chazikar, and he took out his Sefer Torah. And then after waiting, what kind of tiny people? So the boys would pass by in the hall. They said, oh, we're going to start a new week. We have Mincha. On Monday or Thursday afternoon, when people missed it. When they missed it in the morning, they laid in the afternoon. So that's Gladi Machlaikas Achranis. The Sharit Shulah, next to the Behavior, quotes the Machlaikas Achranis. The Chazan Chachamim, the late Kriyas HaTorah, Monday or Thursday morning. Is that back in the morning you have to lay, or can you even lay in the afternoon? You have to slow down the Zman Shabbos. And then Achayim say, no, that you can't lay in the afternoon, only Shachar. And some say the Miyot say that you can lay. So eventually you say, well, Moshe Feinstein says, oh, for hell like that, that you can. But on Shabbos afternoon, so the Achayim says, that's for sure you can lay in the afternoon. Shabbos, all day Shabbos. And so then she thought, full Sakir. He thought that on Monday or Thursday, there's no, like you argue, there's no border. If you can lay in the morning, you can lay in the afternoon. Anytime on Monday, anytime on Thursday, you can lay. I feel like you can lay on Sunday night, you can lay in the Kriyas HaTorah for Monday morning. And on Wednesday night, you can lay in the Kriyas HaTorah for Thursday morning.
That is up that you only have to learn in the daytime. The Mashana has a tshuva about that. He has... Why should we start at night? Okay, no problem. I'll pick up all of them. No, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, sure it's okay. But on the weekdays, it's, the Achareim say it's improper. You should lay Parashat Shabbat at night, and you should lay... Because when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, the Pesukim says like that. That if Rabbi Shalom taught him Parashat B'Ktav by Yom, and Parashat Shabbat he taught him by Laila. Why? Because the Mishnah is because Laila, the Midas Adin is Shoylet, and the Parashat B'Ktav is given the Midas Adin. So you don't want to, just like you don't say Tachman by Laila, not to be murdered, Din by Laila. Laila already has Din. So you don't want to learn Parashat B'Ktav by Laila either, because Parashat B'Ktav is the Midas Adin. Parashat B'Ktav was given the Midas Adin. You give a mashal that says in Parashat Chitav, I ain't a sign, and Parashat Malkeh says it's not exactly so. You give him a break. That's a mashal. That's the Balatanya, I have a whole drasha about that. So the Parashat Chitav is given with Midas Adin, and the Parashat Malkeh was given with Midas Adin. So the Marsham has a tshuva about university students who went to school all day long. So how can they be Yaitse Kriya Chatarasa? He gives a tshuva, Allah Hamas. He says, so let them learn, they're actually four. They have to go to school, is that? And as far as Shabbat also, he thought. They had to go to school on Shabbat also?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. He said, let them run through the prayer on Friday night. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, just to be worse than these Achaim, he thought that on Monday and Thursday, you can lay all day long. I swear, you can even lay on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. All day long is my creed. But on Shabbos, since the Chachamim on Mishab, is that bracha?
Well, why do you have that? Boy, you've already heard lame, and you could have just taken any time.
So Rav Soloveitchik saw it like the minority opinion that you made. You may lay Monday or Thursday. But Shabbos afternoon, he saw there like you kind of. That's not the Zafka now. Shabbos afternoon, the Chachamim are mitzaken a separate Kriyas HaTorah. He should lay next week's Thursday on Shabbos afternoon. So he thought, as Zman Shalzeh, look as Zman Shalzeh, that the Zman of the Takanas Chachamim of Kriyas HaTorah, the Parshas HaShavuah, is only up until Chatzai. And if the Chatzai, you can no longer fulfill the Takana of the Parshas HaShavuah, after Chatzot, you have to only fulfill the other tachon of for mincha. Of leining for mincha, sure. Next week, yeah. Shabbos, can they lay this Shabbos afternoon? If they didn't lay in the morning, can they lay Shabbos afternoon? So the Atheret came and says, yes, and also she thought that that was questionable. He thought that but you should wait up here for next week. That you shouldn't lay it. That's not, the afternoon is not the Zman of having seven Aliyahs, Shabbos afternoon. That's the Zman for a different Kriyas Atheret. The Kriyas Atheret of next week's Parsha Shavuot, not the morning's Parsha
But it's the following week.
But it's still not seven aliyahs. Means that you only get three aliyahs and laying from the morning.
Oh, Parsha.
Okay. But you can't give seven aliyahs. Apparently, the Canaan says you can give seven aliyahs to Nincha and drop there. No, there's a Tachon of Chacham that seven aliyahs on Shabbos.
Yeah, the Kohen of Chacham.
No, so that there is a chain of stairs that that's not going to be only Shabbos morning. The Hasidus should uniquely Shabbos and Musa. But for the Ezra, even if you didn't dive in Shabbos and Musa, you woke up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's too late for Shabbos, but still, you should lay three of the third. It's 7 of the year, 2 past 3, on Shabbos the afternoon. There's 9 of the three of 7 of the year. It's called out yet.
Isn't the cause of Ezra you should have three of the third? Mondays and Thursdays. Does it make a difference what you're laying?
No,
any day of the third. So why can't you lay, if you didn't, if 10 people didn't hear, why can't you lay for Minicha instead of laying in the parsha for next week? You lay the parsha that you didn't hear. 10 people didn't hear it. I mean, why should you, what's the difference which parsha?
Okay, so you lay three aliyahs though.
Sure.
Not the 97 aliyahs with Master.
Okay,
that's a different thing. You lay three aliyahs. But Terry the king says no. You lay all the seven aliyahs with the Master. Because you can fulfill the takana of three at a third, the regular three at a third, the Shabbat afternoon as well. No, that's just not, you know, that's the, because none, it's called like that. So just to finish the sentence, the Gemara says you have to lay in Shabbat lechatam should be imatsibu. What is imatsibu? The Tosha says the earliest you can do it is Shabbat afternoon, the Zman of Tzivas Mincha. Tosha means that if you daven Mincha. You didn't daven Mincha, wow. That's what some say. But that means it's man, no? If it's his man of Mincha, I go to the 4:30 minyan on Shabbat afternoon. So I can't start to be mad if there's the next week's schedule. Before I personally daven Mincha, the Pashto says what was not so. Pashto says, if it's this man doing which the Kriya Sater of next week has already begun, the Taisus claims that that's what he called the Iman's people. Up until when? When is the latest? So the Lakosha depends on the Shabbat. When is the latest that you can lay in the Kriya Sater of Shabbat morning? When is the latest Chatzos, like our Torah, you saw, it is the latest call I hear, like that there is a king. That's going to determine when is it the Iman's people, whether the Iman's people is up that Chatzos time, or the Iman's people is called I hear. Yeah.
Right.
So you kind of have a very good kind of Reishik said that was your tzvara. That how can you say Kriya Sater on Shabbos all day long? No! There's a separate takon in the afternoon. So Reishik thought that you have to say Zvara Shalzer, look at Zvara Shalzer. The Zvara Kriya Sater, the seven aliyahs of Sater, that's only in the morning. The afternoon is a different one. So you have a very good argument. The Gemara says that was a later takana that was made Yoshe Kronos. Really, there should be no Kriya Sater Shabbat afternoon. That's just a separate takana to make up for the lazy bones that don't go to shul all week long and they miss the Kriya Sater Shabbat afternoon. They give them a break. You give another Kriya Sater Shabbat afternoon. So you argue, it's a very good argument. Just because they made this later separate takana, that should not take away from the takana. You should make a new zman. The zman of Kriya Sater should be like that.
All
day. It's all day long. It's a very strong time.
But
one day it's a very short time. What's the difference? For what reason? Why they made it? The mind of the native takana. So you thought that you have to have two different zmans, huh? That's too shy. They just thought from a medrash that when Rabbeinu HaKadosh, this goes to the Ashman Pashiyotik of Matib, when Rabbeinu HaKadosh passed away, they left the Tzavor for his children. Sigmund, the end of Ksubis, quotes part of the Tzavor, not all. The Tzavor quotes in the Medrash that the rest of the Tzavor was that they shouldn't start to eat the Suda on Shabbos morning, that should take them to call our Parsha. Mashma, what do you see from the Tzavor? The Kodim Achila Tzavor HaShlima, that the proper Zman to complete the Mavit Tzavor, time you can have a Targum is before eating the Suda. It doesn't mean Friday night. It's only Shabbos morning. If the Mutter, when you eat the Suda, so the proper thing is, Shalotoko Lechem the Shabbos in the daytime, I should take Mil Kol HaTosh. Here's what says, it's the Shlim, Lach HaLach in the Shabbat Dami. It's the finish time, Mil Kolech HaTosh in the Yeh, but after you finish eating, it's also okay. Just as the Mutter Mil HaMutcha, that's where the Shabbat was. You see, it's the proper thing. To finish the Shlim, Mil Kolech HaTosh in the Kodim Achim. It depends, if your wife and your children are hungry, and you're going to travel Mil HaSidus, I want to be Mavit Tzedek, so they should wait another hour till I'm up. Some of that's not right. Yes. Yeah. So that's what Tashi says. Even even after the Suda. But there's a Midas Chassidus. If it's Shaykh, if it fits in, then the person should observe the Midas Chassidus to finish the
Shmai Nikvech Targum Yisro. Can you Yaitu Rashi also? You have to say Targum.
Well, that's what we discussed last week. That's the Machlek is Rashi. Rashi says you're not Yaitu with Rashi. Rashi holds you're not Yaitu with Rashi. And Tashi says you're Yaitu with Rashi and Hirsch and any translation. If it's a legitimate commentary or a legitimate translation. That was the top that we had two tesis in there.
Right.
The top tesis with the second tesis about Atoris and Bizan. Had a long shot. Rashi Sheet is a... I don't know if you say the Targum. I don't know if you have to daft to pronounce the Targum either. The Schneidik you have to pronounce. I don't know if you have to pronounce the Targum. Because the Targum is Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat Peh, I'll be passed with the Yetzay with the Hirhur. The Yetzay without pronouncing it. Torah Shabbat Peh, you're also Yetzay by Hirhur. But you're not Yetzay, Torah Shabbat Peh. You have to leave with the Hirhur. I'll be Some you can do either way. I don't pronounce the Shem. Some that there's nothing wrong if you do pronounce the Shem. That's the Shaila that we were just discussing. When is the latest? If one should insist, like our Soreshik thought, that that we can't blame Kriyat HaTorah on the morning after Hatzai, before that should be the end of Imat Tzibur. But if you say the way that generally assumed that you can lay Kriyat HaTorah all day long on Shabbos, and in the afternoon, in addition to this week's Kriyat HaTorah, you lay next week, so the Shabbos afternoon is the man both for Steinmeier and Hatzai for this week and for next week's
So a month even didn't do it, there's no chayach anymore to say the following week. Let's say you didn't take both yet.
Yeah.
So you know in there's no reason to do it anymore, you put down it. What's the hurry or can you do it till Simcha Torah?
Yeah, you can do it till Simcha Torah. Different opinions in the Chayach. Yeah. Instead of saying Targum, I'll be fast, it's not, you have to say a Targum. The only shayla was that you have a prospect that has no Targum. You have a prospect that just has names. So what should you do? So that was the machloekis from the Rishayim. When the Gemara says, Afilu HaTorah Sediv, and what does it mean? The Rashi says, even though there's absolutely nothing there in the Targum, the Targum just says over all the words. The Rashi says, still you got to say a third time. When you have Sukkumar, it says Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and other names, then you have to say a third time. And Tosis learned a different shot. Tosis says, no, Tosis, we should tell some holes that you're not limited to ask the Targum Onkelos. If you prefer a different Targum, Targum Jameson, or Hirsch's commentary, or Rashi's commentary, or whatever, some new sefer that came out in the year to with any commentary that you use. But Tosis says, our female Tosis even means, even though there's no Targum Onkelos, and our Tosis even, it just says over the word, we recommend that the Dafka you should do is Targum Jameson, then it's your Targum Yerushalmi. So what if you have a prospect, Reuben Shimon Ben Yehuda doesn't even have any time in your shop, it doesn't say anything to you. So do you have to say the prospect a third time or not? So that's a machlekes that Ben Yehuda called. So it's 2 days in your shop. According to Rashi, that's what the Gemara says. I feel like there is a season, even when the Talmud says nothing, it just says over the words from the prospect, you have to say the prospect a third time. The third just learns differently. I feel like there is a season, you have to go Zuchay Sattargum, and a prospect where there's nothing added in Yerush, in Unkelis, have to go find a Targum that has some comments. So what if you have a prospect that no Targum has any comments, just name. There's nothing to add. So that's the machloekis in the Rishayim. Should you say the third time the Torah is Targum? Or do you say, no, since the Targum is not adding anything, so you don't gain anything by saying the third time? So the Maisa, we say the third time because of Rashi Shita. But the two opinions are within Texas. What would Texas say in such a case? Okay. According to Tosfos that you get, if you learn Pirush Rashi, then if there's a perfect where Rashi has no comment, then you have to look in the Rajbah. If there's no Rajan, then you've got to look in the Ramban. You've got to look in something. You always have to try to find some comment. And if you have a perfect that no one has a comment, then you have to fall back to Levach on the Targum Onkelos. And to go back to the Targum Onkelos.
The Shemitic of Mishkas Torah and Shana Rabbanah. Two questions. How do you do it at night?
How do you like Mishnah Torah at night at the Torah Shabbat Stav?
This paid not to
do Torah Shabbat Stav Balala doesn't apply on Shabbos and Sunset and Chalam. It doesn't apply on those days. That doesn't apply on Thursday night.
And what,
Thursday night.
And what
happened
to
the
Shabbat Stav? Can I finish anything?
On Hashanah Rabbah?
Yeah.
That's what they reported. The Mechaber quotes one opinion that the Gemara says, "V'vachal yachad mashal yachad." That's l'chachrimi shouldn't be yachad. But to the end, if you didn't learn it that week, then you have up until Simchas Torah still called Imat Tzibur. So the Tzibur still learning this machzor of the Chumash. Once there's separations again, that's a different machzor. If you would leave, if you would follow the meaning of the Ne'ah, if you feel that they learned 3 years, you would have done it. And after Shlumin 3 years later. You can name all the sages in the Yeti because it's still the same Mazda. Still the same Mazda. According to that one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. They hold that the Vashal Yad and Vashal Yachir is only the Hatkhila, but for the Yad you would be it. And the other opinion in the Chabir is not. The Vashal Yad and Vashal Yachir, that's where you could be. If you're not the Yad, you don't know if you're in it, if you're laying, if you do. Stein Mikl Echat Arim on a different one. We mentioned that what we started to say, started to say last week and started to say tonight, never got to it. What's the din? Let's say, Shem Shulchan Aruch, a person is a Malamed. He teaches an Yeshiva. He teaches Chumash. So he teaches the children by he, the Shalach Kara, and he reads the Pasuk and he teaches. And he says the Pasuk a lot of times, so he drills it into the children. That says it. He said the Pasuk twice, and this week he tries to Shalach. And if he says, Unkala says, Yet Chitari. Some is not going to teach Unkala, he's going to say in Yiddish, or he's going to say whatever, in English. So that depends on the two opinions. Rashi intends to say, Yet Chitari, if you say in a different commentary other than Targum Unkala. So what happened? So they quote in Shulchan Aruch, this one they found into the Yotze Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, even though you're not saying specifically the Shnayim Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. So what if the Valkyrie is laying in Shul, and you stay along with the Valkyrie? He says, both are good. I'll stay along softly. So I got the Aliyah. The point is, I'm Shnayim is supposed to do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum before Kriya Tatera, just in case he'll get the Aliyah. He didn't prepare himself. So now he wants to do Yotze Shnayim Mikra. So if he's staying along with the Valkyrie, so this counts as one. What if he didn't get the Aliyah? He wants to stay along with the Balkaria. So it's also good, let him stay along. So the Zelda is Sakasha. Why does he have to stay along with the Balkaria? Say Shema Kaina. You always say Shema Kaina by Kiddush Ma'adola and Kalatar Kuni say Shema Kaina by Nikra Megillah. You say Shema Kaina by Shnai Nikra Rehatad. And it's all of the part of the Nikra Hill, the whole Shema. For everybody, yeah. So why does anybody ever plan to hear Kriyas HaTorah? Why do you ever have to learn one mikro, one targum, and then you're going to have Kriyas HaTorah is going to be
Shemekah.
That's the Shiloh. So Lechaira, the answer I think is that the Takanim of Shnai Mikra Vechatagim is Rashi Lubashi Yoyser Im HaTzibur. You have to be Mishtatef with the Kriyat HaTorah, not to be Yoyser Shnai Mikra with the Kriyat HaTorah. Shnai Mikra of Kriyat HaTorah is going to be your Shnai Mikra Vechatagim. That's exactly not what the Takana is not. The Takana was every individual person Kriyat HaTorah is a Chayvus HaTzibur. Shnai Mikra Vechatagim is a Chayvus HaYochid. That's not a Chayvus HaTzibur. So every yochid should do Shnai Nikolecha Targum in conjunction with the Tzibur Kriyas HaTorah. The Hera might, I'm going to listen to the Balkaira laying the Parshas B'Shalach of the Shabbos, and that will, I'll the burden one soul, that will serve as the Kriyas HaTorah with the Shnai Nikra. No, that's not, the Shnai Nikra has to be in conjunction with the Kriyas HaTorah. So if I'm mumbling along with the Balkaira, I'm trying to pay attention with my ears to the Kriyas HaTorah, I'm going to say that. When I'm on the law, I'm going to say one-third of my Yishlein Mikro. I'm going to say my Mikro Echot. But if I'm not going to say along with the Balkari, I'll just listen to the Balkari. But that's only Oilus in the midst of Kriya Shaker. That cannot be Oilus in the midst of Yishlein Mikro. And it means to lay along with the Balkari. Yeah.
Maybe the whole concept of Yishlein Mikro is the whole essence of Achonim. Because the whole you prepare ourselves, If you need to know the Quran, the Quran, at least we know what is going to happen. So therefore, you just can't come and live in the cold, the different rank, then the terror. So therefore, the whole thing
is They have to finish before laying, and we follow the middle sheet in Shulchan Aruch. That it's neither this nor that. It's a din that every yochid should do something to be mishtatei with the tzibur's finding.
As far as the yochid with Ashkenazic reading, or the Yemenite yochid with Ashkenazic or vice versa?
That's another shaila. It's an unrelated shaila. If the tzibur is yochid to create a tzibur, no, it's a different shaila. If the tzibur is yochid to create a tzibur, it's the Balkari laying with a different habara
in place to get.
Yeah. Very different habara. Very different habara. The contemporary Tosfim say the mindset that you are Yetzer, right, except that Moshe Feinstein says that it's not proper to allow a Yemenite Balkari to lay if the Kehila has an Udar Shehavora or a
Lai Shehavora. You happen to hear a minion where this is Yemenite
is laying? Yes, we assume that you are Yetzer. As far as being Yetzer, so we say yes, all Havoras are acceptable. We assume that all Havoras are considered legitimate Havoras. And it's not a traditional thing? I don't know. It's a new term.
The Hatzilah, you shouldn't have it.
And the Hatzilah, if we know what the meaning of our minion is, we have a Spanish minion, you're going to have an Ashkenazic Balkari. We have an Ashkenazic minion, you're going to have a Spanish Balkari. The Ramaj Yerash for Hatzilah, it's not proper because that's not the minion I'm talking. But if you happen to fall into a minion, where they're laying, that's their minion, or the Balkari is laying the improper nifl, whatever it is. So we assume that the Lamaita you are there. But neither, that's what I'm saying, neither. Not that it covers both, it covers neither.
What if this one written by Yemenites?
That's another Shabbat.
And they
lay from
it.
Can you be yet to say that if I'm an Ashkenazi and I have a Spanish Ksav, Ksavelish, or whatever, Ksavari, so can one be yet to create a Torah from the Ksav that has a different Ksav? So in Europe, the meaning of all was that no one was mocked about that. That they allowed Kriyas HaTorah from the Ksav that had a different Ksav. So Rashi told us once the story that Rabbi Moshe Moshe Hurwitz, who was the Rav in Tin, when he was appointed the Rav, that he insisted that the Sefer has to change all of the tzaddik. The Sefer that they learned from in Pinsk was written in the Ksav Ari, that's Yiddish Sefer. So he insisted that the tzaddik is the main letter that's different. So he insisted that the Sefer has to change every single tzaddik. And then somehow Rav Chaim heard that he was changing one of the letters. Rav Chaim sent him a letter that it's not necessary. If you believe it the way it is, then it's good for Kriyas HaTorah. The Shaila though is good for Mezuzah and Tumah. Because the Chazon Ish once made a comment that it's an Ashkenazi, where's a normal person, where's Tzimun, that's written Ksav Ari, usually it's Ksav Betirzi, even though Betirzi was a Spanish. And then there's Ksav Arizal, that's what the Chassidim use, Ksav Arizal. And then there's Ksav Elish, that's then Amua. These are the three basic oikis, two oikis. And a couple of major differences, the Shin with the line on the bottom, instead of coming to a point, that's the Ksav Elish. And the Ksav Ari, the Ksav Bishyaris, you don't have a bar on the bottom, and the female bottom, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says it could possibly be the other. And the Shin with a flat bottom, the female bottom is the topic to say that it's possible to be the other. So a lot of them are doing this. They're written quite side, and who write Ksav Elish, found it's easier to write also. It's so fancy, so they have a bar on the bottom. It's not right to use such a, if you're not from those communities, so it's not either you're a chassid on the sage, either you have ksavari, a ksav betez, but it's not ksavari, so you shouldn't write, use that ksav.
Change it.
The shabbat is, what if you have such a ksav?
So you can change it.
Are you yet?
And the
mezuzah has to be written. The mezuzah has to be written constituents, you can't change it. The Chazon Ish once said that he thinks that it's possible that he has it. That if you have a ksav betez for an ari, for a chassid, or you have a ksav ari from the sage, or you have a ksav elish, it's possible that he has it. The question is, probably a community, no one knows exactly why it's called Ksav Elish. A different flow of one. It's a third Ksav Elish, the third. The letters are more similar to the printed letters in a regular Hebrew book. The Shin has a line on the bottom, other letters are I think real Ksav Elish, real Ksav Elish. Things like Syrians and the Iran Ksav Elish.
I don't know, in Europe, they used to exchange
Torah. Sipei Torah, the Sipei Torah would have a market. Yeah, but Chazon Ish said that until the Zuz is possible to be added. But he asked him, everybody was going, how could he possibly be added? But in Europe, they would never map it on the Sipei Torah. So he said, no. If it tells the Rambam, because the Rambam writes in the Shuvat HaRambam, the Beit Yosef quotes the Shuvat HaRambam, that you can lay, for you have a terrible pit. You can give seven on the years from a printed chumash. You don't even need a printed chumash. You can lay both that. Just like we lay the half terror from a printed chumash printed tanah. So you don't need a class. The Rambam says you can lay the whole thing as a terror about terror, so you don't need a class. And the Rambam writes, the chayin ragu all over Spain. They do like that. That's what they do all over.
even though the Rambam and the Yad HaZok says not so, Shastir, the Ketz Mishneh says Shastir and the Rambam, but the Rambam and the Tshuva says that you can learn L'chashchil HaBalteh, V'chein Rav, V'chol Orei Tzvara, they learn Balteh, they learn from Fossilus, the Tzvara, they learn if it's written Shalai Kedin, no problem. And the Rambam and the Sefer, Yad HaZok, he writes not so. So how can he write in the Tshuva? V'chein Rav, V'chol Orei Tzvara. So the Ketz Mishneh quotes this Kashi, and he does not attest, Shastir and the Rambam. But it's because of that Rambam, that the Beis Yosef has to stop. Let's say you're lading Kriyas HaTorah in Shul, and then in the middle of the lading, you find that there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So it says, it's a part of the Sefer Torah, you have to take out a new Sefer Torah. Take out a new Sefer Torah, so you should start lading all over again. You're not Yosef in the Yevet. The Rambam says you're not Yosef. The Beis Yosef says, no, it's in the Yevet. The Yevet, you follow the Chum Yishuma, say Rambam, and you can even lay Lachachiva from the part of the Sefer Torah. So you're not Mechiyah to lane all the Lich. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you can, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you can squeeze in from where you are till the end of the segment, Mr. Brooks also from, if you can squeeze in seven aliyahs from there till the end, so the proper thing is that you should do something. If you can't squeeze in seven aliyahs, the thing is that you can interpret the aliyahs that you gave already. So Rashi told us, and he thinks that even more, that if the Balabatim and the Shul will tolerate it, if the Bnei Torah will go along, they won't stone the rabbis, so that's proper things when you find the source in the Sefer Torah, the rabbis should convince them they should start all over again from the beginning. From the beginning of the Sefer, and make seven aliyahs. Not like the Mishnah Berurah says in Achrayim, you should start from there to the end, try to squeeze in seven aliyahs. No, you should try to convince them they should start all over again from the beginning, and make seven aliyahs. If the Balabatim won't go for it, then you should follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Yevah the Yetzi Kevah Torah Balteh. That's what the Chazon Ish said. He said, "The Negev Kriyas HaTorah HaYosef is a sheet that will have chidin can learn about there." I'm going to say that Tzum Zuz are good about that. No, Tzum Zuz, you got to have kosher and partials. So if it's the wrong stuff, so it's a sake of the Dina, then it's no good. I swear that it's no good. So then they said, they write in the Bayan to the Chazon Ish, that the Tzum from the Brain Gak to Tumul, what do you mean it's from the Dina so much? So the Chazon Ish says, all right, maybe it's kosher. Maybe it's kosher. But he really, his instinctive reaction was that it's no good. He really felt that it's no good. I'm taking it either. That if you have a few of them... I swear that it should be no good. But for the clear Tatar, there would never matter.
Because it's going to change for you, but if it is born, it
was not under Snaggit, so
it's
going to have Hotes? Or how can it be at one time in the Hotes and then it was not in the Hotes? The Pashtun says everybody should retain their family practice. The question is, where did all of these Hasidim come from? Originally, they all got the Nusach Ashkenaz, and they all used the Shabbat Yosef, and they changed. And they changed the Nusach Ali and the Davening into the Ksav Ali and the Sefer Torah. So who gave them the right
letters?
That's a simple Torah. I don't know why Moshe didn't change it. He doesn't know the answer. Who gave them the right to change it? I don't know, the Nusach Ali, the Hasam Sofer had the famous children. In Chedek HaRachayim, in the beginning, I think Simon says wrong, where he quotes from his Rebbe, Ramot Nabla, he quotes from the Dibri Chayim, he quotes from others, that even if your family tradition is to daven Nusach Ashkenaz, but that's not called a Shidi Mini, because he daven Nusach Ali. He said, the famous comment, he said, that Rizal said, that there are 12 different shvatim and there are 12 different mitzvahs of tefillah mukuvim keneged each shevet, and each person should daven the nusach tefillah that's matin, that fits in with his shevet. But there's one miscellaneous nusach tefillah that's good for everybody, and that miscellaneous nusach tefillah is the ksav ari. It is the nusach ari. So even if you are from a family where they all daven nusach ashkenaz, you switch to nusach ari, that's perfectly all right. But if you are from a family where the tradition is that they daven Nusach Ali, then you're not allowed to switch to Nusach Ashkenaz. That's the Tshuva of Chasam Sofer. That's based on the Arizal.
If you come to a shul where you daven and then Ashkenaz, you are Tzvara. Yeah, or Ari.
Yeah.
What you should do?
If you're the chazan, if you're the Baal Tshuva, the chazan, then you have to daven for Anome, according to the Minhag HaMakom. The Chazaras HaShas, you don't have to daven for Anome. But if you're davening privately, then if you're davening softly and privately, then you can daven your own minhag, unless it's going, unless your Tanshan Ha'at, unless it's going to be very nicker. It will be very bold, very noticeable that you're not davening the same riffle. Like Moshe Feinstein writes, many people daven Sukkot Zimmer out loud. So it's going to first say Hodes, then it's going to say Baruch Shamar, and it's going to be very obvious that he's not davening the Nusach HaTzilah of the Shul. It's going to first say Baruch Shamar, then say Hodes, it'll be very obvious that he's not davening the Nusach HaShul. So even though he's not the Baal Tshuva, he's not the Chazan, but still, that's a violation of Moshe's Gerdes. But if it won't be noticeable, Shneh Tzibur has to daven. The question on Esther, that's a machleikah. That's a machleikah from Moshe
Gedolah.
Yeah, the Gemara says the Lashon that the Chazan is going to recite the Tzil of the Kol Ram. So why does he say Tzil of the Lachash Tzal? But the Gemara says that he should be Mesada his Tzil of when he daven the Tzil of the Lachash. This is the Hachmanah for the Tzil of the Kol Ram. That's why Moshe Feinstein writes that therefore he should recite the Tzil of the Lachash even though he personally has a different Nusach Tzil. But since the Tzil of the Kol Ram has to be Kemenig HaMokhain, the Tzil of the Lachash, even though nobody will know what he's saying, and it won't be noticeable at all that he's saying anything different from them, but Moshe Feinstein writes in the Sefer that he should say the same Nusach that he's going to say the Kol Ram. And this was in response to others who disagreed before Moshe said it and who disagreed after Moshe said it. There were other Rabbanim who thought that it wasn't so. Then even Gemara says, Kedem Asadat Tzilot is a different thing. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you should say the same, the exact same as others. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rav Soloveitchik also thought like Rav Moshe Feinstein. I think he also said the Shir, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that, that the Chazan should say the Lachash, the Nusach, not his own Nusach, instead of the Nusach and his
own Nusach.
Oh, that was the Tainah, yeah. Moshe has a Tzayish Yivana. Why the Chazim be called Roman and the Chazorot HaShav Tainah Tzayish? Because I'm Eino Brocha B'fnei Asmo, and it's still the Balacha, she doesn't say there's a Brocha B'fnei Asmo. You see that there is a slight discrepancy. So what's the Shlech, if you have the discrepancy of Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Tzayish, so Moshe gives some kind of an explanation why it's not the same. Forget it.
Isn't this a little difference between the considering, you know?
He knows all the prophets, but that's what since that was the original Takonis Tachonim, so even though perhaps the reason doesn't apply, that the Takonis still applies, so it should still be the Sadat Tachonis. Otherwise you can sign it, so why does the Shat have to say Tzilah B'lachah Shalom is not as there? Why should he say it all? So the answer is Kach Tiknu Chachonim, even though the reason doesn't apply. Yeah. But he has a good reason, in other words, why he wants to say this on Esther. Isn't that a difficult din? If he has that din in Shulchan Aruch, let's say the Chazan forgot to daven Ma'ariv last night. So he davened Shachris, Tzilah B'Lachash, and he has a mind with saying Shachris. And then he's going to daven the Chazaras HaShat, but he'll daven it, he wants to be able to the Chazaras HaShat, Ma'ariv.
Yeah.
And it's Shabbat is for the Tzibur, but for them it's Shabbat and for me it's Meir. Is that good? Well, the Meshachta has Dinim like that. They have Dinim like that. Now they're trying to... Let's say his issue is. Let's say his issue is. Tzibur B'lacha shall daven in the shame Shabbat. Then he's going to say another Shmoneh Esrei. So for you, it's Shabbat. For me, the Shmoneh Esrei.
He's perfect. He wants to be the Shmoneh Esrei for that reason.
He wants to be the Shmoneh Esrei. Can you do that? So the Shulchan Aruch says you can do that. Or let's say another person, not the Chazan, another person missed my reverse that. So he's going to daven a long shachas with everybody else, and he'll pay attention word for word, word by word, Shemesh Kohenet to the Chazaras HaShat, and the rest of the people will be Eitzi with the Chazaras HaShat, Shachas Chazaras HaShat, and this Chazaman will be Eitzi Tashmona for my reverse. So I think that Morgan Alon calls the Shuvah to the Avraham, if I'm not mistaken, that that's legitimate. The same Tzilah can be heard for one person, one thing, and for someone else, another thing. Very difficult, because we already discussed it. The Gemara later, the Gemara says in the beginning of Simchat HaShachar, Chazov and Beis, the Gemara says that the Kavonat HaGavri, B'Shas, Kavonat HaMitzalo, B'Shas HaTzilah, Kaveh, what the shame of the Tzilah is. Is this a Shachris? Is this a Minchah? Is this a Ma'ariv? Is it a Tashlumin? What is the shame of Tzilah? So the Kavonat HaGavri is Kaveh. So how can it be that I have a mind that for me it's Ma'ariv and for you it's Shachris? So what is it? Questionable whether you should pass them like the Rav. So let's see again. So the Gemara quotes this in a Shlomi Kazachatar. Okay. Yeah, that's the Gemara. The Gemara says the Kavana Sagabra of the Hanan Tomo. The Kavana Sagabra is Kaveh, what the Shema Tzilu. The question, can you do that? Can you do that? The Chazan is saying, Achazaret Hashar, that the 15 people is Shachris, and for one person it's Shmaya. And the Shulchan Aruch says he can.
The whole
says he can, but others dispute.
The Chazan is a separate Shibboleth.
Yeah. So the Chazaret Hashat is labeled as a Shachris for the Tzibur, and you say that one member of the Tzibur wants it to be labeled as a Tashmona Tomai. So the Radman says, yes. They don't have a Chazaret Hashem. Moroccans don't do Chazaret. They don't have. I don't know if that's why. I thought it was because of the Rambam's Takonos. The Rambam writes in his Tshuva that it's a Chilul Hashem that they shmooze in all the shuls. During Chazaret Hashem. It says that more of the time in the church they don't talk when they have their prayers. I don't know. That's what the Rambam writes. There used to be one Balabas in my community. He used to say, that's not how they like the fact that everybody talks in the middle of the dark. The Rambam talks about many Kadmanis that they all used to shoot. That's not how they like. So the Rambam writes that it's such a terrible thing that the Jews talk in the middle of Chazaret Hashat in the churches. They don't do it. That he abolished the Chazaret Hashat. I thought that, so this was practiced in Egypt for hundreds of years after the Rambam died. Okay, so they didn't, no, they used to have the Chazen, they used to make a Hechad Gushir up until Hakel HaKodesh, and then everybody davened for Lachash, and then I think the end of the Shmona, how did the Melachim say, I think the end of the Shmona Esrei, the Chazen davened slow and everybody else, I think he says, Moedim Al-Tah, so they say Moedim Al-Tah, or something. I think at the end he picks up and he says out loud again to say the Birchat Kohanim also, to say Moedim. So not that much slow. Okay. Remember the Near Yeshiva used to have a second minion for the Merachim. So they still followed the Takanas HaRambam that he did away with the Chazaret Hashem. But in Egypt where the Rambam lived and he made his Takanas a few hundred years later, I think the Radvaz did away with, the Radvaz made a few major Takanas. One takana was that he did away with the Ninyan Shtaris. That he used to write in the Shtaris how many years it was. Since an ancient government, an ancient Greek government that had already been Bustle and Mabutal for generations before. And the Jews, when they wrote the Shtaris in Egypt, still wrote the Ninyan Shtaris some years before. So the Rambam did away with that. And, yeah, it should be possible, yeah. But that's, they continued that practice. So he was the one who introduced. Should be. Yeah. But he was Mavatala that they shouldn't use Minyashtaris, they should write Rabbi Yisraelim. They should write how many years Rabbi Yisraelim. And then I think the Rabbans in Egypt also did away with this Takanas HaRambam, not the next Chazaret Hashem. So he reversed the things back to the original Takanas HaGemara, that you do have a Chazaret Hashem. But I think in Morocco they still maintain the Takanas HaRambam. I think that's where it came from. So the Gemara quotes the din is when you do the Shnayim Mikrachatam, you shouldn't do it in advance and you shouldn't do it way later. It should be Imati, because Yom Ruh, Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, Ladinei, as Rabbi Shua Ben Levi told his children, he told his children a few things. Number one, Ashlimu Parshia Saichu Im Hatzi Beshnai Mikurech Adagum. They should, every week they should be Mabes Sedri, they shouldn't do it in advance, they shouldn't do it after, they should be Im Hatzi Beshnai. Number two, he's Zorah Bevredin Kerev Yehudit. And number three, he's Zorah Bezokim Sheshachach Talmud Amach Mesonsa. What's the second thing? He's Zorah Bevredin when you shech the chicken. So the din says that you don't have to cut through the whole neck. The Gemara says, well, Chatzim, she shares the Kona and the Veshit. The Ikra Adin, if you only share the Kona or the Veshit, is enough. The Gemara says there's a difference between a Behemah and a Nois. In a Behemah, you have to share the both of the Imanim, Rose Kona and Rose Veshit. In a Nois, it's enough if you share either the Rose Kona or the Rose Veshit. But with Chatzim, you share both. You share the Kona and the Veshit, the practice. To finish, but what more do you have to do to it? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you should cut the vein as well. The vein are the big
veins that carry the blood.
So that has nothing to do with the Hilchah Shechita. The Shechita is certainly perfect for Hafkilim and Amahadrim and Amahadrim. It's the Shech, the Kona, and the Veshit. So what do you have to cut the vein?
The Dhamma.
The Kona is the windpipe, and the Veshit is the footpipe. So you have to have to share the Kona and the Veshit, and that's the mitzvah of Shlemut of Shechita. What do you have to share? What do you have to cut so much of the neck to cut the vein for? That's a shayla of dam. Rashi quotes. Rashi says, on the fourth line from the top, Hashishka says, I've read in Kadesh, Yeseh, Kol HaDam. In order to roll the blood shikara. What's the problem with blood shikara? You're going to fold the chicken later on. So Rashi quotes in the Gemara and Chumash. If you cut the chicken up into little pieces, and then you're going to fold these pieces, no problem. There's no need to cut the braid in the shashkinti. You're going to cut the chicken up into little pieces, and you're going to fold it. Kinan. Sometimes they would broil by vein, there's no problem. Because you're sure going to cut it up. You're not going to broil it the way it is. But Hachem Ha'atkinah by a chicken, so you're going to broil, sometimes you broil the whole chicken the way it is. When you broil the whole chicken, you don't cut it up in little pieces. And you don't salt it. Some Hashem say you don't salt it at all. And how many years that we do a Malichim Uwazit? When you broil, you do a Malichim Uwazit with a little bit of salt. In the event that you're going to boil the entire chicken the way it is, just for the Malichim Uwazit, then there's a shiloh. Maybe all the blood will not come after. If you'd insist that you should cut the blade in the Shashchita, if you think that later on you may want to boil the whole chicken in one unit. That's what Rashi says. Well, the Rama came up. You'd only say the voice. Well, the Saleh, Kulukah, because sometimes you boil the whole thing the way it is, so you're going to have a chashash that the dam will not come out by day three. Normally, three, you can substitute for Malik. To do three, you don't need Malik. But here, it may not come out. But if you'd insisted that you should cut the bread. Because especially if you remove the head. No, you cut off the whole head. You're not supposed to cut up a little piece of Rosh HaKrov Al-Kiv. You cut the Rosh off and then you put the Rosh HaKrov Al-Kiv with the rest of the behemoth. So they're cool time. But the head is separate. But here, in Rosh, you just cut the condemnation and you leave the rest of the head attached. And then you burn it with the head. And if the brain is still connected, or if you cut the brain later, then all the dam may not come out.
Cut off the head
completely? No problem. Cut off the whole head
and
no problem. Not all of them will come out with the Shuvim. The Gemara has that many times in Shas. Whenever there's a machlokes, even though we pass like the roi, but it still constitutes a midas chasidus to follow the mute, except if it's a machlokes, the shama and the sivul. And the sivul is the mekel, and the shama is nachma. Then we say that the shama gemokam is sivul eila mishna, that it doesn't even constitute an act of midas chasidus to be machma like the shama sheet. Yeah, and it's improper. You know, because later it's improper. But over here, this is not the Shana Bisu. So here, the Midas Chasidus, to follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, to share the rain. Even though Mikra Din, we don't pass one there. So one might perhaps think that since this is only Midas Chasidus, maybe Shana Mikra Echatazm is also only Midas Chasidus. That's what someone mentioned last week. And it says, V'yaylam, Yashu Levanim Parashiyoyta, then it says, Jula Parichas Yavun, it might have called Amashim Parashiyoyta, and Matibu Maricham Al-Yamba Vishnayta, it sounds like it's a Midas Chasidus. Sounds like the whole din of Shnei Mikra Chatam is din of Chasidus. But then the first thing that he told his children, that's the real din. Yizor v'zokin sheshochach talmud amach mesonsos. The other person who was once a Talmud Chacham, and then he was yotzei the Tarbus Shuah, then he became an apikoros. And he's not interested. So then there's no din of Shnei Mikra Chacham. He won, historically, he used to be a Talmud Chacham, Talmud Gelant and Aishina, but now he's an apikoros. So then there's no din of plate on the other. He was on to Tana Chav, and then he went into business. He went into business, and he didn't learn, and he forgot all of his words. So just because there's a Gebez and a Talmud Chacham, he's not Mechuyiv in Kroi Talmud Chachamim. Kroi Mami was a Talmud Chacham, there was a din of Kroi Talmud Chachamim. And now that he's in business, a lot of businessmen know how to learn better than their Rabbonim. So if he's not a Talmud Chacham now, he has to be Mechavim. Just because he's not a Talmud Chacham by profession, doesn't mean anything. So Talmud Chacham has to be Mechavim. But if he shavach Talmud and lost his business, then right now he's not a Talmud Chacham. But if he's a Talmud Chacham, who always wanted to remain a Talmud Chacham, always wanted to remain in learning. And he shavach Talmud and lost his sonsai, he got sick, or old age or something, had a stroke, whatever. And shachach Talmud ba'ayne, so then he has to continue to be mechaber him with the covered Talmud Chacham. Why? De'aminon, because the Gemara Bavata learns out from the pasuk that luchas v'shivay luchas milachim ba'arayin. The deal of having an arayin, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Eretz Yisrael Mezuzah, the Rambam writes as a din, you have to be mechaber the Torah. There's a din you have to be mechaber Talmud Chacham. And there's a din you have to be mechaber the Torah. Now that I take the test, I put it on the floor, I sit on the paper, I turn the paper upside down, all of these dinners. Where do you learn that out from the Torah? How do you know that it's a din you have to be mechaber the Sefer Torah? So the Gemara says in one place, the Gemara says, well, it says in the Torah you have to stand up for Talmud Chacham. It's my favorite, talking about the Pnei Zokin, that you have to stand up for Talmud Chacham, this name of Mdeho, only. If you have a question, you certainly have to stand up for the state of terror itself. That's the marker that the Gemara has an answer. But the Rambam has a different marker. Apparently the Rambam is not satisfied with that marker, because the Gemara cares. The Rishonim has stand up. The Rishonim has stand up. Right, the Gemara says, Kama, the Bavnela, the Pshoi, certain theories were foolish people that they stood up for the state of terror, and they wouldn't stand up for the Talmud Chacham. So why they took Shoy? Morris says that it's a Kabbalah Chaim. If you have to stand up for Talmud Chacham, if it's a Kabbalah Chaim, you have to stand up for the Sefer Torah. So these communities, they were only Yizr and the Mochama Dikidim. They weren't on Yizr and the Din. That's not the Chama. So they only stood up for the Sefer Torah. They wouldn't stand up for the Talmud Chacham. So the Ran quotes Hashem who bothered with this contradiction between the Gemaras. These Gemaras, the one Gemaras in Makkos, the one Gemaras in Kiddushim. One Gemaras seems to imply that the Chiyuv to stand up for a Sefer Torah is more common than the Chiyuv to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. The other Gemaras seems to imply that Sakir, that it's not a Talmud Chacham, it's not more common. So if it's not more common, how do you know that it exists at all? How do you know you're Mechiyuv to be Mechaber the Sefer Torah at all? Maybe just Mechiyuv to be Mechaber the Talmud Chacham, there's no Chiyuv to be Mechaber the Sefer Torah at all. So the Rambam writes, no, that's learned that from the Din of Orayim. That the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you should make it up to the Mishkan, you should make it up to Beit HaMikdash. And you have to put Kelim in the Beit HaMikdash, you have to put a menorah and a Shulchan, and a Mizbeach, and so on. That's part of the Rambam, right? That's not a separate Mishkan, it's a Mishkan to have a Beit HaMikdash with the Koy HaMikdash, with all the furniture. But then there's another Mishkan to make an Oray. So the Ramban says on the Sefer HaMikdash, the Mishkan to make an Oray is counted as a separate Mishkan. The Rambam said it doesn't count it as a separate Mishkan, that's a Kasha. The Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvah, does not count the Afisa or an Eitz as a separate mitzvah. The Ramban says that should be counted as a separate mitzvah. Why separate mitzvah? Because you see, by Sheni, there was no Oray. So how did they fulfill the mitzvah of Yotali Migdosh or Shachan Tzvah? If the Oray is one of the Klei HaMigdosh, so they're missing the Klei HaMigdosh, so they're not here for the mitzvah of the HaMigdosh. If you won't have the menorah, you won't have the... The mitzvah to have the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash is not only in order to be madlik the menorah. Let's say if you don't have any shemen zayis period, and you know you won't be able to be madlik the menorah. You still have a mitzvah to have a menorah, that's part of the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash. You've only got the mitzvah of the Beit HaMikdash if you have the Beit HaMikdash with the Klei HaMikdash. What are the Klei HaMikdash? Not the Klei Shoreh. The Klei Shoreh is that you do the Zikas Adam, that's only for the sake of doing the Avodah. But the Kelim, the Shulchan, and the Menorah, and the Mizbeach, and the Kiyar, these are the Klei HaMikdash. This is for the sake, not only for the sake of fulfilling HaKorobos Kolbanos, or for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah, or for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Lechem HaPanim, these are different mitzvahs. It's for the sake of fulfilling the Shlemut and the mitzvah of the Yotzei HaMikdash. So why didn't they have an Oren in the Bai Sheni? True, they didn't have the Luchai, the Luchai Shabnuza. Why don't they have an Oren? The Chacham Sofer says no, that the Chacham Sofer has a Chubagui, yes, Akasha. So he says, the Rav Soloveitchik used to say this in the name of his father, Ramesh Soloveitchik. Chacham Sofer has it in the Chubagui, a little early. into the same answer, that it doesn't make sense to have an Aron that's going to be empty. The Aron is called the Arena Bris. One called Arena Bris, if it has the Lukasai, it's the Lukasai Bris. It doesn't have any Lukas in it. The Saroji brought in the Aron is not like the Shulchan and the Nerida and the Peach, that it's not only for the purpose of fulfilling that mitzvah, it's also a Mashlam, the mitzvah of Yotel and Migdash. The Aron is not one of the Koyan Mishka. Not one of the Koyan, it's not part of the furniture. The Aron is solely for the purpose of housing the Lukas. So the Rambam, and the Yal HaZokir writes like the Ramban wrote in the Sefer Mitzvah, just like the Ramban says, that's the reason why it's counted as a separate mitzvah. Or it is not part of the Ramban writes in the Sefer Mitzvah, I'm not going to count the mitzvah to have a Shulchan and a Menorah and a Mizbeach and a Kiyor. That's part of the big mitzvah of the other mitzvah. But the Ramban says, that's fine by the others, but not Oren. Oren is a separate mitzvah. Why? Because the Ramban writes in the Sefer Mitzvah, Oren is not one of the Koyan mitzvahs. Oren is a mitzvah to be Mechabit the Luchas, to be Mechabit the Torah, it's a mitzvah of Kodah HaTorah. That's where the Ramban writes, take me Rambam and Hilchos Sefer Torah. The Rambam says, there's a mitzvah to be Mechabit the Sefer Torah. How do you know that? Because there's a mitzvah to be Mechabit the Luchas. And the Rambam writes, which has a higher level of Kedusha? Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the Aseret HaDibros, Chesuv from the Yetzer HaLekim. A Luchas, Maite HaLekim Heim HaMinich, and Luchta HaLekim Hu, Chorot HaLuchas, this is the original author's copy. Stav Yad Kutcher of the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Rambam writes, a Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Aseret HaDibros.
Why?
Because the Sefer Torah has the Aseret HaDibros plus more. Has more. So he says, the Sefer Torah, Maad Aseret HaDibros. There's a din. If you have to put them in an Aron to be mechaber them, so called a chayna, then I shall call a chayna. If you have a sefer Torah, it has more divrei Torah, you certainly have to put it in the Malka Mechuber. And the Rambam learns in the Yarech HaZokeh that mitzvah, the Aron, I say, Shitin, is the mocker of the din, and you have to be mechaber a sefer Torah. Kovet HaTorah. Kovet, Talmid HaChamim, is the pasuk that they say we're talking about the B'nai Zokin. And Kovet sefer Torah, the Rambam doesn't quote this, learn that the Kavach Haimah, if it's nei long zehon, the Mipanei Lekoshkin, he doesn't quote the Kavach Haimah, he says, no, that's learned that in the mitzvah, we also are. So the Gemara says in Baba Basra that what was put into the Yaron Lukai, this Shibri Lukai is Menachem Barah. What was with the Shibri Lukai? So the Gemara says in another Gemara, the Gemara says in Shabbos, when Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the Lukai, he saw the Osius part of the Barah, the Osius went away. It's not, let's say you have an old Gemara that's all rich. But you can't learn from the Gemara. The pages are all rich. But the Ksav is still there. You have an old page, but there is also the Ksav is still there. So why do you have to put it in the shame? Why do you have to be Mechabedim? What if you had the stone, you have the Luchas Eidus, they have on him, and it used to have Oisius, and then the Oisius were parted. Mamish, the Oisius are wiped off, they disappear. It's not just that it's broken, and it's hard to put it together. It's just plain stone. But that's what the Gemara makes it too still. Just like the Rebbeinu Shlom said, you have to put not only the Luchas, you have to put the Shivei Luchai, even though there's absolutely nothing there. Here if you put all the pieces in the right place, there's nothing to leave. Nonetheless, since it once had the Divrei Torah and the Divrei Torah disappeared, Machmas Reiner, so it maintains the Kedusha, you have a chiv to be mechabudet, so to an endokin, sheshochach talmudai. Machmas Onsai is a chiv of Shivei Luchai. Even though everything was totally wiped off, he doesn't remember anything now, still with the same chiyuv to be mechaber him, as to be mechaber the luchos, mechaber the talmud chacham, but does remember the Torah. That's what some of the rishonim say, there's a hagoras ashri, quotes in Oz Aruah, hagoras ashri on Moed Katan, quotes in Oz Aruah, which says, that's the deal in the Gemara. What does the Gemara learn out, luchos, reshiva luchos, what does it got to do with the zelchah sheshachach talmud, right? So he says, because the shiva luchos, the Gemara had gone, well, okay, it's prophet Bahavir. His mom is nothing left.
Yeah.
Everything was wiped off. That's the two spells. Right? So that's the two spells of the Zokin Sheshachach Talmud. So this is a real din. Getting back again. This is a real din. This is not a Midas Chasidus. So you can't tell. Rabbi Shua ben Levi told his children three things. He said, you have to be Mada Sedra. And you should be Machma like Rabbi Yudah Sheik, even though you don't pass on Rabbi Yudah by the Zayden. That's a Midas Chasidus. That's just Hanach Medogar of Bracha. And then he said, the third one is the Shura. We all do. Look at the Shura. Look at the Ramah. And you have to be Zohar because I'm a Chafi Shashach of Talmudah. So one din for sure was a Midas Chasidus. One din for sure was a real din. And the Shabbos on the third din. So the Mada said, the Shai Nikah Vechatazom, is that a Midas Chasidus like it sounds before? That's Gula Farich at Yomim. Well, no, that's a real din. It's hard to tell. So you're trying to figure out from the context. It's hard to tell because he told three things together. Yeah, he spent the evening with Kumar.
When the rule says Luchos Yeshiva, Luchos Mechusuran, does that mean that they were in the same Aron or they were in different Arons? Because you have the Mechumah that they took Aron with them. They say that the Aron that they took with them to Mechumah was not the same, was not the Aron with the Luchos, was the Aron with the Shiva Luchos.
Yeah.
So there must have been two Arons. No, you have the head of 80 world because you
said
the other one.
So what is the meaning? Tosis in Stoker quotes the Machlokes HaTanoim from the Yerushalmi person, whether there was one or another two. According to some, they were both put in the same one. According to others, it was the acquisition.
So it means here, like, you can learn either way, he and the more. It doesn't say that.
Yeah, they use it a different order.
It doesn't say in the same
order. So never said that I'm talking to somebody who learns all the time. Even if he doesn't learn, after the move that can learn, and he's still like,
It depends why. Why did he begin to learn? If he became an antiquarian, but if he started to go into business, he learned an Ishi, even though the Ishi he learned very well. And then he went into business now, and he doesn't have a chance to learn so much. And then you're not the 2 years.
The Tamarok was only somewhat as a learner, literally a learner. But the Gavlin is not a Gavlin, and the King Gavlin is only
been a Gavlin. The Tamarok is the one who actually knows how to learn. He knows now how to learn. But if he forgot Gavlinus, then it's a Prima Shivelu. So once the Gemara is quoting already the Rabbi Yishuv and Levi's instruction to his children, so the Gemara goes right there, Rabbi's instruction to his children. Amr Rabbi Lebnei, Rabbi told his children, Shatem choytchim basar, when you cut flesh, you should be careful, al tachtichu al gav hayad. Don't hold the flesh in your hand and cut like this, you should cut it on a plate. So the Gemara says, why? Some say, he could be Amr Mishum takonet, you may cut your hair, you may get injured. Yikadiyam, another understanding of Rabbi's instruction was Mishum Kilkul Suda, that he may cut his finger and the dam will mess up all of the flesh. He won't be able to get the dam off the flesh. He's not really worried so much, even if you're not worried, but even if you're not worried, you're not sure that there's no sakon.
What kind of dam
would he
get?
From his hand.
From his hand.
So let's say it's such a blunt, it's a shvacha knife, not such a sharp knife that he may cut and he may make a sakon. A shvacha knife. But he still may cut his hair to the extent that it may bleed onto the food. So that's the difference between the two understandings. According to the first understanding, you're not worried about that. Then it would be mutter to cut even hagabaya. According to Vika Dami, according to the second understanding, you should be makir about that at all. That was one thing that Rabbi told his children, that they shouldn't cut the flesh on the hand, they should cut it on a plate or on the table. Number two, he said, Valteshu amita saramis. They should never sit on Amita Salamis. The Gemara is going to have different interpretations. And the third thing he told them is, Al Tabra Akure, they succeed in the Shul Shal Sibu Mispalalim. They shouldn't walk, they shouldn't pass by the Shul on the outside. If the people are davening in Shul, they're going to walk by the Shul on the outside. And be a Marisai, the people who sing, they're not going to daven to them. So they should be careful for that Marisai. The Gemara is going to have to be careful. The Gemara is going to say it. Other shulman, there's no marisani. The first thing Gemara explains one at a time. What does it mean? Alteshu amita aramis. What does that mean? That they shouldn't sit down on the bed of a nachlis. What is that? A bed of a shiksa. What are they doing? Yeah, what are they? What are they saying by the
shiksa?
The rubber was already in the scoop of the Leila Maroyim, so it was a Mala of Lamur, then it's Taka Tomei, but it's a Mala of Lamur. Everybody was Tomei anyway.
Why should they have anything?
How is it going to come up? So the Gemara gives different interpretations. So one interpretation is, he could be Ami Wamshat and Robert Savoy was, he must have died. Sounds like Robert gave his Savoy and he died. Now I'm trying to figure out what's Shat in the Savoy.
I didn't ask him before.
Yeah. The Ika Diyami one shot in Rabbi's statement was like the Gani shouldn't go to sleep below Kriyashma. Means don't go to sleep like a goy. Don't go to sleep like a goy. He eats supper, he watches television, he goes to sleep. You shouldn't go to sleep like a goy. Make sure you take Kriyashma Lavi. Okay? And Ika Diyami, the other version is that he told them, that you shouldn't marry a Diyari. What's wrong with marrying a Diyari? The some have the gears in the Gemara, that's Rabbi speaking, it's not Rabbi. A lot of times you have Rabbi, it's a question about the gears, it's Rabbi or Rabbi. If the gears is Rabbi, so we understand very closely, Rabbi was the uncle of Abai, they were Kohanim. Abai, the Kohanim, is prohibited to marry a Gears. That's what he's telling him. Make sure you don't marry a Gears, because the din is that the Kohanim is prohibited from marrying a Gears. But if you have to give it to that, it's rubber. So the Gemara says rubber was not a kohen. Well, because of yichus, the Gemara says that if you want your children to have hashuah tashchina, you want your children to have the possibility of becoming Levi'im, they should make sure that you marry a girl. I don't know. But derech klal, a person when he's holding by shiduchim, he always tries to marry someone who has a yichus. Has a yichus. A yichus means not a rebbe, it doesn't have to be a rebbe zanenikol. It means she should be from a Jewish family, to the exclusion of the Chayyodim writes that the only yichus al bidin, the only yichus al bidin is a bach samakos.
How do you establish what is
the bach?
Yeah, so he marks again, he could be on another version of Rav Sabra, or worse, they shouldn't marry the Yeris. Yeah. Abai and Rabbah? Oh, who's that
Rabbah?
Who's that Rabbah?
Yeah.
But I don't think Rabbah was a coin. I think Rabbah was a coin.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily follow that he was a coin, huh? Just because one's a descendant from the Beis Eved, it doesn't have to be a coin. His mother from the Beis Eved. I think Rabbah was not a coin, though. A Rabbah will come. So those are the gears to hear that it's Rabbah speaking, so we understand it. I want to marry a gear. That's a din. That's why it's forbidden to marry a gear. That's the children are not such great on the Chacham. You don't make sure that you don't marry a gear. I want more gear din.
Very hard. Why
the people just tell
them
dinner here,
don't give me
time to make sure. Yeah, maybe that din is a chumash that they know. This din doesn't say a chumash. This is a mishnah. The kind is prohibited to marry a gyor. And there's a machloket patanayim. What if the gyor was in Gairo before the age of three? Of course, it's bashal shom yenecha. We thought that even so, it's prohibited for the kohen to marry a gyor, even if Gairo puts in bashal shom yenecha. That the girl was adopted. A Goyish girl was adopted by a Jewish family and she was converted before the age of three. So we pass from that it's still prohibited for the kohen to marry such a girl. Shaila with us and he said, they're right, and he said, they're abona, but it's still prohibited. And the Chloe is at that night.
Shaila.
We pass from the Shem Zayna, yeah.
But maybe we can look on the negative. Therefore, why should we look on the negative and say the girl that is terrible? But that's the essence.
He's telling his children a kula, not a kula. He tells them, be careful not to marry a gyeris, but a descendant from a gyeris is okay. Could be. The Mishnah says, however, let's say a gyer shemata gyeris. A gyer married a gyeris and they have a daughter. So the Mishnah says in Kiddushin that it's prohibited for the kohen to marry the daughter. The chatchilo. Prohibited to marry a gyer shemata gyeris, either parent is a Jew by birth. So it says, the chatchilo, a kohen is not allowed to marry such a girl. So the Yadrin, this is like Taita. The Mishnah says that the Yadrin is married, so you don't insist that they have to get divorced. Because it's only a Chumim and a Rabbanah. But
even Abuyeh is also like Taita.
No.
The Kohen is married to Taita.
Not only
a lot, it's also if he marries a Gusho, is Taita?
Also, sure, Taita. Not only that. There's a common shadow that comes up to Kiseida. Now, what if a non-Jewish woman was pregnant and she converted while she was pregnant, before the child was born. And after she was misguided, then she gives birth to a daughter. So the Gemara calls that Hayrasa Shalabi Dusha, so they don't be Dusha. She conceived of this baby girl when she was a Machrish, but by the time the baby was born, the mother was already estranged. and his mother went to Mitzvah in the middle while she was pregnant.
And you want to teach everything that comes to Mitzvah?
Yes, so the child is born a Jewish child. So the Rambam quoted by the Shulchan Aruch says that a Kohen is prohibited to marry this girl, I'll treat her to the evidence of Mrs. Satan. Even if he got married, even if I'm mistaken, the Kohen married the girl, and have to get the book. And this is Satan. With respect to the din of the Kohen marrying a Giyor, if that's considered a Giyor.
It's not the boy Yerachimo for this thing.
What the Hezbollah is, that's the question. Why should it be so? The rabbi is there, there's a rabbi on the wrist, and Yevon gives a different Hezbollah. It's not the, he says it doesn't depend on the Giyor, he gives a different Hezbollah. He says the din is that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Giyor. Why? Because the Giyor doesn't have any Yichus. At all. She has no parents at all.
It's not that she's
in a negative.
She lacks the
positive of the position. So the writer adds on a little bit. He says, what is she lacking? He says, she has no yichus at all, because here she has got shenelas on me, so she's not related to any father any mother. So the writer adds on, what if the girl was like, oh, so she'll be dusha, but they don't be dusha, so she's related to her mother. So she's not related to the father at all. She has no father. If the girl is a yisraimo, that the father died before she was born. So she's related to the father, but the father's not alive. The father died before she was born. Now, are you saying that? She's mitiaches the sacher of you. But if the girl was harassed, she was big dusha, like that's a big dusha, she's only mitiaches it after the mother. She's not mitiaches it after the father at all. Even if the father was Jewish, but the mother was a nachris, and then the mother converted, so the child is not mitiaches after the father at all. So the child is now with, if the child is Jewish and the father, it doesn't matter. Even if the father was Jewish, the child is not related. So the writer says that's why the Kohen is not permitted to marry her. I think it would be the other tate said, because the Kohen, because he has a higher level of Kedusha, has to marry Am Yuchefer. What do you mean Am Yuchefer? I read the Sheiniko. No! A married girl who has parents. After a married girl has two Jewish parents. So if the girl is a Giyoret, but she has no Jewish parents at all. If the girl is Hayrata, she loves Bigdusha, like that's Bigdusha, she only has a Jewish mother. She has no, even if the father happens to be a Jew, she's not related to that father. Worse than a Yisraima. Yisraima is related to the father, but never disturbed before she was born. But over here, she has no father at all, not Mitzachesis at all. So that's why the writer says on the bottom of the wrist, on Yerom, that he learns that's the reason why a Kohen is permitted to marry a girl who's Hayrata, she loves Bigdusha, like that's Bigdusha, because she's not a Mitzachesis. She doesn't have Jewish parents. So she has Jewish parents. Don't say something you have.
The
He wouldn't have the children who were to be married. If he would have been a good, that this woman, if he married this woman, the children will be shall marry another woman, not to go marry the other woman. What's the problem? But he decided to be right to the whole mitzvah. He's not going to fulfill the mitzvah because he knows that if he has children, the children will be Rishon. So the Gemara says that Yishai Arnav, he told Chisya Arnav, he's not allowed to be right here in mitzvah, he's not allowed to be Mavakla mitzvah. Because of the Bahari Kapshid Rahman Allah Mamafi, just because you have the Ruach HaKadosh, I have to discuss that Gemara, not the Shem. Okay, so what does the Gemara say? The different suggestions of what Rava meant when he said, he told his children they shouldn't sit on a mikra arav. The long shot is that they shouldn't go to sleep without saying Kriya Shema Lamito. They shouldn't go to sleep like a nafli. The other shot was they shouldn't marry the earth. Either he's a kohen and he's telling the children you're not permitted to marry the earth. That's the din. Or he's not a kohen and he's just saying you should try to marry a miyuchesed. So the Gemara says in Yivam, it's ain't ashkin asher ala mishpachas b'chasa shed Yisrael. And one should always try to speak to it that he has children who are roi l'hashra ashkin. And he could be Amri. A third interpretation is that Tavor of Rav should be on the foot Kipshuto. You shouldn't sit down on the bed of a Nochris. What do you mean? In case it happens. In case it will ever come up in 1,000 years. That a Goyish woman will invite you to sit down on her bed. So don't do it because you may get into big trouble. Why? He once visited a Nochris for some reason or another. So she brought out a chair or a bed. So she gave him a chair to sit down. And he said, Amy, Yoshev, I'm not going to sit down. I should talk to you at Tamlito. Until you pick up the meat and show me what's underneath. If you have Tamlito, Mato Shantina Knesset. He found the baby that was dead. So it's a good thing that he didn't sit down on the meat. He would have sat down. It would have been an Amigo Saddam. They would have said that he sat down and he killed the baby, then maybe with the miscarriage. So because of that, Maitre Shoy, Mikhail Omachachon, and because of that, they declared an Easter, you should never do that, Rosh Alei Shalmit Alam, in order not to fall in with such a tzar. In Moses, what was the third thing that Robert told us?
You mean
all right? That's what it sounds like. And the third thing that Robert told the children was, why? Because of the Marisayan, the people were saying that you're not from, that you don't stand to God. The Bible of Shimon Ben, Dabra of Shimon Ben, same as the other Amari said, also, because the people were saying that you're not from, they don't stand to God. The Gemara says, but it all depends, what the story is. On Abaye, it depends. Well, I know it's like a Tifrach Rina. There's no other doorway to the shul. I will look at this thing, there's another doorway, so you can pass by this doorway, because there's no Marisayan, the people will think you're probably going to come in the other doorway. That's what the Rishayim are bothered with the Kasha, the Rishayim and Achenim have a lot. And as the Gemara says in Zaman Adlikin, that you have to bench Chanukah on Pesach Beitah. So what if your house has a Pesach HaBayit on two sides of it, on both sides? So the Gemara says, Mishum Marisayan, you have to bench Chanukah Lich on both sides. Why? Because they'll pass by one Pesach and they'll say, he's not benching Chanukah Lich. So the Rishayim and Achenim ask Kekashi, what do you mean? The Gemara says here, so if they'll see you passing by the entrance to the shul, there's no Marisayan, there's no Chashad, they'll be telling them the sun is going into the other entrance. So I come over there, I come over there by Chanukah. They're thinking that he's not benching Chanukah Lich, not here, not the other side. And here we say that they'll be telling them that... No, but the Gemara doesn't say to so many Nisa. The Gemara says, Mishum Chashodah. Mishum Chashodah. So how come... They give a lot of interesting to you. If there's a Tishtachlina, write one book. And write one, well, Arnella doesn't like a big Tishtachlina. This is the only shul in the community. Now, we could take Tishtachlina if there's another minion in town. Write some book, the people will be tired. There's no more event. People tell us, going to Davin and the other shul. Well, Arnella, the Lord Dori Tune, the Lord Roy, the Lord Marach Tune. It's only, what if the fellow's passing by the shul, and he's running with his bully. So what do you mean, they're going to be tired that the guy is? The guy's just walking idly by in the street. And he's not doing anything, looks like he has all time in the world, and he doesn't come into the shul to daven. So then there's a hashad, the maritime. So if you see, he's running to get a train, and he's running with a police on something, Dori Tuna is carrying a burden, or he's running, or he's wearing silver. You see, he's wearing silver, so you see, he's full. Whenever you see that there's no maritime, then there's nothing to wear. Then there's no problem. Now look at Chad Mehanach, if he has any one of these three, either he's carrying a bundle, or you know, he's rushing. It's going to have many Marsha's place on board, and there's no Marisha. Okay. At the end of Parshas B'Shalach, the Torah tells us that Amalek waged the war by Yav Amalek by Lachim and Yisodian Fidim. They waged the war against the Israel. They were Erech Mokhama. But then after the Baruch was said, we have to wage war. He's going to wage war, Mokham Hashem, and then Mokha Emche, and later in Kun Islam it says Mokha Timche Tech Amolek. We have a mitzvah, then we have to wage war. It's a din of Mokham. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam writes that this Mokham is mitzvah, you have to wage war against the Zion Amonim, and you have to wage war against Amolek. And the Rambam writes, seems to write that there's a difference between the two. He says that by Zion Anonim, not only do we have to wage war against them, the whole quality source, the Chedus at Tibur, he says that the Chedus Ayoch, if I'm walking down the street and I happen to bump into somebody whom I know is a descendant from Zion Anonim, I have a personal mitzvah to kill him if I can get away with it. If I'm going to kill him, they're going to put me in jail and they're going to give me the death penalty. I'm not going to be more progressive to fulfill the mitzvah of Mitzvah Chayakon Neshama,
of wiping out the Zainanim. But if my life is not in danger, then I have a chayv b'sayochet to kill this person. I, that's not called the Mokhama. Mokhama is a chaminyan, you're waging war on a grand scale. So the Rambam seems to understand that the din that you have to kill the Zainanim is not a chayv b'sayochet in the Yishkoro. It's a chayv b'sayochet to kill these Zainanim. How can you kill out all the Zainanim? Because it's a chayv that you wage war, but it's not a mitzvah Mokhama that tells Mokhama. It's Muhammad to enable you to fulfill the mitzvah, Sayyachid, of killing Zayn Aminim. But the Ammonic, the Rambam doesn't write like that. That if you have some quote based on the Rambam, then who are the Nami by Ammonic? But the Rambam Gufa doesn't say that. But it would appear from the Rambam, that's the way it says in the Chumash also. Muhammad Hashem by Ammonic, that's a din Muhammad. So the Rambam doesn't say by Ammonic, if I bump into an Ammonic in the street, I have a chiyuv to kill him. Yeah, the pashtus is only if you have a melech Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, a Jewish government, then there's a mitzvah of Mechiyas Amoleh. Unlike Zayin Anamim, that they took Eretz Yisrael. So then it's the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim quotes in the Pesukim in Parsha Shoftim. It says in the Chumash that when you wage war, since when you wage war against the Gulois, you only kill the men. You don't kill the women and the children. The secret of Amir Mehi Lachem or Lehav Yen the Pasha Shevsim, the Torah say Lehav Shalom. Hoyim Shalom Tancha is good. You may Pasha Nimach if you don't want to make peace. So it says, Vahiti first calls the Chor Lutikha, Rak Hanosh Mahata Vahem, or Kala Shehi Buir, Kala Shavala Tav is lost. So you don't kill the women and the children. Unless, Kain Pasha Lachol Hoyim Ochor Kisim Tomi Yoy, that's as far as other countries are concerned. Rak Miyoy Hoamim Hoile, Lehutachai Kol Mashom, Yihachim Tacharim, Achitim Amen, so. And the Pasuk says that this halacha that you only kill the men and the women and the children, you leave and you let them live, that doesn't apply to the Zayin Amin. That's what the Pharisee Pasuk. And then I'm going to this Pasuk in Hilchos Malacha. Then we also quote the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Kiseite, that Mocha Tincha Ezecha Amorik, to the Mashmoyet Rashi says, Meish V'Yarisha, Meyol Obad Yainis, that this din that you don't kill the women and the children doesn't apply to Amalek, because there are right the two exceptions to the rule. But normally when you're a Mechama, you only kill the men. That's the definition of Mechama. Women don't go to fight. Lashem Lapanei Medri Mechama Nino, the Gemara says that you're not supposed to dress women in the army. You're not supposed to dress women in the army. And the Gemara says that how do you know that women are exempt from the midst of Kedah Idiyah? But it says, prove who knows how to keep sure. So Ish is Dr. Rishpoch, and Ish is then Dr. Rishpoch. So the women don't go to war. So since women don't go to war, so that's how we dash into the process that women are partners from Tiri Vilini. That's how some Achleim say, why are women partners from Talmud Tiri? Well, no, that's from the process, because I'm not the most men today, I'm not the most men today. The women are not Mokhiv to learn Tiri Vilini. Why? So some Achleim explain why, based on the Gemara, the Gemara, the Gemara quotes in Agadita, the Hasset of the Hasai, if you're the Tzuchim in Hashemayim, that the book and the sword came down together from heaven, and everyone has a brera, all the men have a brera of either choosing Sayyid or Satan, either one or the other. Either the person becomes a scholar or the person becomes a warrior. So what kind of Hasset of Yod Tzuchim, what's the connection? But I find it explained that there's such a concept of Mocham to Shoteru. All the men in the world are involved in Muhammad. But you have to choose whether you want to have this kind of Muhammad or that kind of Muhammad. Women are not involved in Muhammad. Noshim are not b'nei mezid Muhammad. So you don't have neither the Muhammad, you don't draft them to the army. You don't fight, you don't kill the women when you go to war. And the women are not m'chiv to learn Torah for the sake of learning. You have to learn Torah in order to know how to keep the mitzvahs of Torah. As the Hechshon mitzvah, but just to learn Torah, the shame, women are Torah. That's a tough form because of the same reason that Noshim Allah B'nai Mevid Muhammad Nino, this is another form of Muhammad. The Gemara says in Avodah from the first period, Yisafo lo saifo, Yisafo lo saifo. Either a person is a warrior, so he's not a scholar, or the scholar is not a warrior, it's not going to be both because of this Agarot of the Saif of Aha, Saif Yod Bekruchim in Hashemah. So the Torah tells us that normally when you're speaking of Muhammad, Muhammad is only by men, not by women. The women don't wage war, you're not supposed to kill the women. That's not the pashtus, the pshat in the Haggadah. It says, parallel goes on El Al Eskor. How come a parallel only goes on the Tzor? Because the Chumash says, the beginning of Shmos, he was afraid panic the animal Chomo. He was afraid of Tamu Al the Nil Kambonu. He was afraid of a Muhammad. They're going to wage war against us. So you have to wait
not to get tipish and wait till they wage war. So you, you have a preemptive attack. You wage war against them. The Barah followed the laws of the third. That was the way it was always classically, traditionally done. When you wage war, the men are involved in the war. The men do the fighting, and they only kill men. They don't kill the women. So that's why when Barah made his first there, he told the Nashim, and they didn't listen to Taro, so then he told by Tzav, he told all the Mitzrayans, and then who, how did he tell them? And then he was only going to sheep with other men. That's our friend said, the sheep with the Mitzrayim, some Midrashim say there was a sheep with both other men and other women. And other Midrashim seem to assume that there was only a shibud on the men, not on the women. Why? Because the whole shibud and the whole zeris against the Eden was a p'china of mokhamah. And parallel goes, well, that's fine. When you're waging mokhamah, so you only wage mokhamah against the men and not against the women. And the letter...
And if waging was not in... Constantly not
in the shibud, the shibud is against the mokhamah, too? That's a shayla. Is that so? That you don't draft kohanim and levim? That's a shayla. The shayla is brought up. Are you prohibited to draft Kohanim, because they're not allowed to be mitamal amesim. That was the shayla. So many folks can say that it's wrong. Shlomo Lazuna has a shiva about that, and he says that it's wrong. If you do draft Kohanim Levim also, you have a right to draft Kohanim Levim. The Kohanim in the British Commonwealth wanted to break the head of the joining the army, and they said it's against the religion because they're not allowed to be mitamal amesim. I think when Rabbi Nathan Adler was the chief rabbi, this 100 years ago, this issue was brought up. 89 years ago, the issue was brought up, and he said, well, Allah, that it's not so. But Allah is in the Gemara state that he drafts even Qa'an. The Koshkin have the right to draft Levi. But there are... Muhammad
be a Qa'an? Yeshua of Muhammad.
There
are
the
people...
That could be a Qa'an. No, maybe you have a... He's a chaplain. Chaplain doesn't fight. Chaplain is a chaplain. So the Tzaytus Al-Khum is quoted from the Medrash, that the Yeshua Mach is the Wolfen in Tachsite Hamrochomer. That when you wage war against the enemy, first you block off their water supply, that was done. And then you make a lot of noise in order to frighten them, that was the Tridea, that the frogs were cloaking and making a lot of noise. And then Tayyip Social Medrash proceeds to describe the rest of the Yeshua Mach to be the wall of Wolfen in Tachsite Hamrochomer. And then the final conclusion was, Mach is Chorus, and there's two opinions in the Medrash. It says, Hashem Yikov Kol Bechor. What is Kol? Kol is a Ribui. The one view in the Medrash is called is the rabbis, the female. That all of the firstborn died, whether they were males or females. And then the other opinion in Medrash is no, that the Bechoyrais did not die, only the male firstborn died. But Hashem Ika Kol is Mazdeh, whether he is a Bechor the Aviv or a Bechor the Imar. It's based on these two opinions in the Medrash that the Mechaba and Ramor present two Minhagim. And they're a face up when the Bechoyrais fast, so only the male Bechoyrim fast. Or did the girl also have to fast? The Mechaber says that there are some places where they have a minute that the girl's firstborn daughter is also fast. And there are more rights that that's not our minute. And most of the Achanim say that the minute is that the girls don't fast. So the Mechorshim explains it. The Yeragor and others explain that these two opinions depend on these two views in the Medrash. So that view in the Medrash is only the males died, the women didn't die, the firstborn women didn't die. That's because the whole Esther Makkah, they hold this Mitachsisi Hamochoma. That Tara was Gazal al-Alaqam, that was an act of Muhammad, and the Rebbe Shalom wanted to fight back with the Muhammad against them. So he had Gomes, Sadeh, everything leading up to the final Makab al-Fatish was Makab al-Kharis, and that's Metaqsis al-Muhammad. You only kill a man, you don't kill a woman. It's an interesting idea that the Ether Makab is a Tchina of Muhammad. His son, Malchumish, writes like that also. The first Malchumish, a father with the Kashi, what's going on? But Israel, the Ishalu, Ishmei, Israel, Ishmei, Israel, so they borrowed Caleb, and they never gave it back. Zayla, what do you mean they borrowed and never gave it back? The Sifim of Roshim said, Yishalu means that they requested gifts. The Razvan said, you can't shuva lapi kusmi, says they requested matanis from the Goy. That's what the Rabbina here says. Whenever the Roshim, the Yishalu means to borrow, it should take Yishalu Yishmeyim Reyehu. Yishal Meyim means to borrow, but it says Yishalu Meyeshu Uso, it means to request the matanis. If it doesn't say Lishon Meyim, it doesn't have anything to do with Barak, means to request the Matan. But other Mephoshim say not so. Other Mephoshim, the Ezra and the Tzara, they say no. Yishalom means that they borrowed. How come they didn't give it back? So they give an answer that the Tzara says they didn't have to give it back. Because there's a din of Kibush Muhammad. Whenever there's a war, inside their wind is kind of everything that they have from the other. The kind of the others is avodim, the kind of all the karkin, all the metatim and everything. So since there was a mechama, that's how the Sfar understands from Pshat and Tosef. This was a chil of a mechama between Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. So when Bnei Yisrael, when the Esther Makis were completed and they crossed over the Yam Suf, that was the Gemara Mechama Bnei Yisrael and Menatzeach the Mitzrayim. In the name of the Zadina, Kiddush Muhammad, whatever they have in Kaina. It's a different answer. The Gemara has such an answer. The Gemara in Chalet has that is. But the Mepharsh Machon is this answer.
And you learn from Hussein, basically, Bnei Yisrael would not make Muhammad. Therefore, the Kaina,
That's exactly. That there are two exceptions to the rule, that normally Muhammad is only men fighting against men. You're not supposed to kill women and children, with the two exceptions of the Zayin Umayis, where it says, Lesha Chai Kol Hashem, it says, the Seirish and Shoftim, it's an exception to the rule, and Amalek is also. Simcha Yisrach Amalek means everybody. Why should these two be exceptions to the rule? So by the Zayin Umayis, we understand why. Because the Rambam goes, if I'm walking down the street and I bump into one of the Zayin Umayis, it's a loop full of harder. That shows that it's not a Mitzvah Muhammad Bechlau. It's a Chiyuv Harige. It's a Chiyuv Harige. You have to kill her. The Muhammad just in order to enable us to do the Harige. But it's not a Chayvus Muhammad. This din is, when you have a Muhammad, you're only supposed to kill the men. But if it's a din Harige, so it applies to the women and children as well. But by Amalek, it's a Hatele. It says, Muhammad Hashem Amalek Midrash, that's a din Muhammad. The same is in Muhammad. There is no chayvus hayochid to kill an Amalek walking down the street. It's only Muhammad Lahamelech, Muhammad Shalom Amalek, and then this one based on Chile. It's with a mitzvah klal. It's not a chayvus hayochid to kill Muhammad. The man is tana Muhammad Amalek from the others. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out. The Pasuk says in the Gilas Esther that Haman was interested in killing out Shapin Ashur Yehudah. And the Pasuk says he was Haman Ha'agogi. So the Yishami writes in one place, he was not, there's different opinions. The Yishami says he was not a descendant from Agog, Melech Amalek. The Pasuk refers to him as Agog because he's in a Maisa Agog, just like Agog, just like Amalek, had this strange Hanahogir, that they were waging war to kill the women and the children, everybody. A strange war. That was not the way it was on the women in the whole world. B'chol Ol Kulai, it was always on them. You just kill the men, you don't kill the women and the children. So Amalek did this Yishuna Dika war to kill the women and the children also. That's what the Torah says. The Yidikin Egemi is that when we fight against Amalek, we have to kill the women and the children also.